Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Lord, y'all. I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to begin except that, do we predict it on the wake-up call? Is that what we do here? Because we were having the conversation on Friday. Weren't we having the conversation on Friday about how, I know I got on here and said, I don't believe that there were 21 people out there that were trying to get some Kool-Aid and blow up a plane. I don't believe. The same folks that say, and this skepticism is not just reflected in this show through my mouth. It's not just reflected in what y'all, the skepticism that you all articulate. Oh no. The skepticism is rampant in Great Britain. Nobody believes Tony Blair. Ain't nobody believe Tony Blair. That's a technical legal way of articulating. Ain't nobody believe Tony Blair. Technical, legal, but stay with me on it. I don't believe it. You want to know why I don't believe it? How is it that, and this is why I don't like this man. I'll say it. I don't like this man. I've been riding him like a racehorse since they tried to foist him on us as the vice president, and that's why Al Gore, Inconvenient Truth, was is that Joe Lieberman's a jerk. That's what his Inconvenient Truth is. Joe Lieberman, you know what he said? We're going to. Now, I don't know who the we you talking about. I don't know who the we you talking about, Connecticut boy. I don't know the we you talking about. But you see, he said, we got to take this party back from the likes of Ned Lieberman and Maxine Waters. You know what? Kiss my Connecticut grits. Ain't that some stuff? Joe Lieberman, it's like, huh? Who's talking? Dick Cheney or Joe Lieberman? Joe Lieberman said, we, and again, who is the we in that? We've got to take back this party. Which party would that be? From the likes of Ned Lamont and Maxine Waters. Huh? Huh? And then you have, just as horrifying, just as revealing, just as clear about who you with. The same Dick Cheney said, he came up, he slithered his way up into the sunlight, blinked dozens and dozens of times because he's not really comfortable with the whole sunlight concept. Came out of vacation in Wyoming to say that Connecticut Democrats were subverting national security and giving comfort to Al-Qaeda types by electing in a democratic process Ned Lamont. Oh, we got stuff to talk about, y'all. We got stuff to talk about. I'll be back.
We look at the Israeli offensive in Lebanon from a tactical and political perspective with retired Army Colonel and defense analyst Douglas McGregor. Has this conflict produced an alliance of Muslims against both Israel and the United States? How much and what type of death and destruction furthers democracy and prosperity? A provocative look at this situation Monday morning at 8 on the Wake Up Call.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Give someone special to you the gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Monday morning at 7, our guest will be Jenny Damaris from Save the Children. We'll be focusing on the lack of child care and educational resources that are still affecting the Gulf Coast 1 year after Hurricane Katrina. How can the area possibly recover if the children can't be provided for? Did you know that half the neighborhoods in New Orleans have no licensed child care programs today? And only a third of the Head Start programs are back up and running. Another story you'll hear only on the Wake Up Call, Monday morning at 7.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Now you've got more than you can spend, but all of the money in the whole wide world is not gonna help you in the end. Now while there's still time to be saved, don't take that attitude to your grave. Might be too late for you, I'm afraid. So don't take that attitude to your grave.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. That's right. Dick Cheney came out of vacation. And what did he do? He conducted a conference call. And he told reporters. Now, you know, he doesn't come out of vacation for nothing. He didn't come out of vacation to deal with this so-called red alert that our country was under. Oh, no. He came out of vacation to take the partisan whip and try to beat us over the head with it. And this makes me believe, this makes me see, this makes it clear for me how fake this whole thing is. And if you notice, if you look at all of the political, I'm telling you, the loss of the seat to Joe Lieberman, they are trying to stop the momentum of it. You don't think these people would do this? You know, I don't know everything. I don't remember everything. I'm not clear on everything. But help me with this little bit of historical nostalgia, please. This little historical trivia. Didn't some kind of prisoners get released shortly after the election of Ronald Reagan? Didn't some folks get released from somewhere in the Middle East after the election of Ronald Reagan? So don't tell me that stuff like this is not done. You don't think that there wouldn't be a fake terrorist scare to stop the momentum of what Joe Lieberman defeat? The momentum of a Joe Lieberman defeat. Check this out. The Republican Party, they are not sending any resources into the Republican candidate that's running against Ned Lamont, huh? You all are supposed to try to gain seats, right? Why aren't you sending in any money to the Republican who's running against Ned Lamont? Oh, no, they're going to send their resources into Joe Lieberman, who cracks on Maxine Waters, just like any good Republican. So I just want you to feel what's going on. And then I want you to factor in the head of Homeland Security taking the time after ratcheting it up to a red alert to say, this is why we need to be able to interrogate people by the use of torture. This is the reason why we need to be able to spy on Americans because it works so well for the British. Huh? Every single one of these Republican types out here are using this terrorist attack as a weapon to beat us over the head with in order to get support for activities that have been deemed illegal, questionable legality, and absolutely have been deemed to be without moral foundation. They're using it as a political... They were ready to use this as a political opportunity. How soon did it take them? How quickly were they able to cobble together a political statement after this so-called red alert? Too quick in my book. It sounds like they knew what the... It sounds like, baby, the game has been fixed. The game has been fixed. +1 877 920 WGNU. That is my number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
The truth will set you free, Miss Brown.
Yes, indeed.
See, Maxine Waters became famous, didn't she, Miss Brown?
Oh, well.
I wonder what Nancy Pelosi going to say about it.
I didn't hear any defense.
Not a word out of the mouth of Nancy Pelosi's mouth. This is so interesting. I'm so glad that man lost and Cheney coming out talking about that mess he talking about. Has he forgot about Libby? What are they going to do about Libby, Miss Brown? They bring him up. About Averill. What are they going to do about that?
Well, no. Is he going to have a statement about that rather than a statement attacking the voters of Connecticut and calling them Al-Qaeda?
Yes, who wanted Lieberman out and who wanted Lindemann out. I hope Lindemann is keeping a record of all this, Miss Brown. And I wonder what Hillary and Schumer are talking about. What they're going to talk about. Is Hillary going to open her mouth again? This is a wake-up call, and I hope Howard Dean will bring us something different, too, when this is all over with. Like I said, that sorry Republican Party who couldn't even fix Medicare, who tried to privatize Social Security, who tried to ruin everything, couldn't even fix Medicare, Miss Brown, that sorry party.
Right.
You're talking about, and he won't jump on Ned Lamont. Go, Lynn. I hope he runs all the way, Miss Brown. I hope this is a wake-up call for all them sorry Democrats who kept their mouths quiet.
Yes,
Miss Brown, you have a wonderful day.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I guess that there is, maybe we're just being too hard on the Republicans. Maybe we're just being too hard on the Republicans. And maybe we just don't understand the philosophical nuances and the philosophical complexities of greed. If it's just about making a dollar, maybe I'm just biologically precluded from understanding the philosophical complexities of greed. John Ashcroft, remember how he was crying when he lost to a dead man? Don't cry for Ashcroft, Argentina. He is building a lucrative consulting company that helps security and other firms find businesses with federal agencies. Our good government is planning on spending in the upwards. You want to know why your baby can't get a loan to go to college? Because this government is planning on spending $60 billion on security issues just in 2007. You want to know why your mama doesn't have any medicine? You want to know why there's no job training out there? Because our good government is going to be spending $60 billion on homeland security. And John Ashcroft is there to help them find their way. Hallelujah. Being the good Christian that he is, why wouldn't a good Christian make money off of war? And the possibility thereof. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I'll be back.
St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic. Eastbound 40 at Kings Highway, disabled tractor trailers on the right shoulder. Westbound 270 at 367 in New Florissant, normal traffic there. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass, 270 looks good. Northbound 270 at Sappington, 44 is building this hour. Eastbound 70 at 79, it's building there as well. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 in the Canal Bridge, look for no problems to report. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom to 270, look for heavy volume going on there. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are starting to stack up this hour. That's basically due to the fact that westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got it backed up for paving operations into 64. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for a new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito, crispy jalapeno strips, spicy chipotle sausage breakfast, fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly cloudy this morning and afternoon, partly sunny by later this afternoon. A 50% chance of showers throughout the day with a high in the upper 80s this evening. Partly cloudy, cooler, low in the mid-60s for Tuesday and Wednesday. Mostly sunny Tuesday, high in the upper 80s, and partly cloudy on Wednesday with a high in the upper 80s. Currently, we have 76 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Monday on the wake-up call, we look at the Israeli offensive in Lebanon from a tactical and political perspective with retired Army Colonel and defense analyst Douglas McGregor. Has this conflict produced an alliance of Muslims against both Israel and the United States? How much and what type of death and destruction furthers democracy and prosperity? A provocative look at this situation Monday morning at 8 on the wake-up call.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making a difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Falkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
Monday morning at 7, our guest will be Jenny Damaris from Save the Children. We'll be focusing on the lack of child care and educational resources that are still affecting the Gulf Coast 1 year after Hurricane Katrina. How can the area possibly recover if the children can't be provided for? Did you know that half the neighborhoods in New Orleans have no licensed child care programs today? And only a third of the Head Start programs are back up and running. Another story you'll hear only on the Wake Up Call, Monday morning at 7. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Michael.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you doing? Outstanding.
Did you see the 60 Minutes interview yesterday?
I sure did with the president of Iran.
Yeah, he was so knowledgeable.
What I thought was fascinating is that he taught the president of Iran, I thought was so interesting when he was interviewed by Mike Wallace.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that Mike Wallace was very, very disrespectful, condescending, and rude to the president of a nation.
He flipped it back on him,
but nevertheless, I think particularly when the president said, I've got other things to do than to sit down here and to talk to you, I got to go. And for Mike Wallace to say, no, the most important thing on your agenda is sit here to talk to me. Who are you? Mike Wallace hasn't been elected into anything. Who are you? And you wouldn't have said that to the Queen of England. He would have never said that to a woman who hasn't been elected. He would have never said to the Queen of England, the most important thing for you to do is to sit here and talk to me. Instead, he would have been falling over himself in appreciation for any few minutes that she wanted to hand to him. I was disgusted by that.
But it was very informative. I saw how he just said that Bush hasn't enacted on universal health care or education.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh yeah, that's right, we live here. He said, the president of Iran said, I just think it is terrible that 1% of your population is in prison. I think it's terrible that you all don't have universal health care. What are y'all doing fighting all these wars and you don't even have, 1% of your population is in prison? That's crazy. And it is.
And it's
sad. I'm sorry?
And it's sad.
It's sad. It's sad. It's sad. And it is. All right now.
Well, thank you for your time.
All right now. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. Maybe there's a reason why. I know sunlight makes people that are sunlight intolerant, like Dick Cheney, cranky. And I imagine having to slither out of your bunker. Remember, this is the man that didn't come to us after he shot his friend in the face and the heart. He didn't have a press statement to say about that. But he slithered out of his bunker to tell Connecticut people that they are Al Qaeda for supporting Ned Lamont. Isn't that something? He couldn't find his way to the press after he shot somebody in the face and the heart, but he sure found his way out of vacation to find the press on a conference call. On behalf of Joe Lieberman. And maybe he's cranky. And, you know, again, sunlight makes people that are sunlight intolerant cranky. Cranky. And maybe he's cranky because a new Associated Press ISPUS poll found that Bush's approval rating has dropped to 33%. His handling of nearly every issue from Iraq war to foreign policy contributed to the decline around the nation, even in the Republican-friendly South. Democratic in the fall's congressional election. 19% of those surveyed. These one-time Bush voters are more likely to be female, self-described moderates, low to middle income, and from the Northeast and Midwest. 2 years after giving the Republican president another term, more than half of these voters, 57%, disapprove of the job that Bush is doing. Democrats have to gain 15 seats in the House to seize control. And the Democrats are excited about it. Republicans believe that the elections will be decided in the 435 districts and 33 Senate races. The number of voters who say that their congressional vote this fall will be in part to express opposition to the president jumped from 20% to 29%. Double-digit increases among males, minorities, moderate, conservative Democrats, and Northeasterners. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Joe.
Hello, Miss Liz.
Good morning.
You know, I heard you talking about Ned Lamar, what Lederman said about it, and Maxine Waters. But I was watching, I think it was 60 Minutes, Meet the Press yesterday, and they had Johnny Dean on there. He was defending Ned Lamar, but he didn't never mention Maxine Waters at all. I just thought that was very interesting. It's kind of revealing, you know, about what the Democrats think about us.
You're talking about Howard Dean.
Howard Dean, I guess.
On Meet the Press yesterday morning.
He never mentioned Maxine, but
He didn't. He was even asked the question about the quote that was given to, that was played about something that Joe Lieberman said, and he didn't respond to that. In fact, he said that this is a party of moderates, and so he did not respond to it. He did not respond to it, and that was troubling indeed. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for what you do.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. So much stuff to talk about. It's not a happy day for the Republican Party. But nothing slows their game. They are continuing to attempt to attach what happened on 9/11 to Iraq. And there's no shame in their game of saying that we should be able to, as a nation, interrogate people by using force. Question people by using brutality and use that information once we get a statement out of someone. Torture. I guess they should have their t-shirts, Torture Rocks. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Monday morning at 7, our guest will be Jenny Damaris from Save the Children. We'll be focusing on the lack of child care and educational resources that are still affecting the Gulf Coast 1 year after Hurricane Katrina. How can the area possibly recover if the children can't be provided for? Did you know that half the neighborhoods in New Orleans have no licensed child care programs today? And only a third of the Head Start programs are back up and running? Another story you'll hear only on the Wake Up Call, Monday morning at 7. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline, Bombay. How much of this story about the possible airline bombing with bottles of Gatorade holds any water? Reports out of India are saying that American Airlines somehow decided that a passenger who had a family of five with him was on a terrorist list that was created after last year's London train bombings. Yet, this person was allowed to get on the plane at Heathrow Airport. The airline then contacted the pilot and told him about it and said to continue on to Boston so U.S. authorities could make the capture. But the pilot apparently got too nervous and came back to London, where the man was taken into custody, and his confiscated bags managed to contain some liquids in containers and some type of electronic device. Now, last week, two employees of a tabloid in London were charged with eavesdropping on messages from Prince Charles staff members. The paper happens to be owned by media mogul Rupert Murdoch. Some of those conversations reportedly had Prince Charles talking to Gordon Brown, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, about a plan to oust Prime Minister Tony Blair from office by legal maneuvering and put Brown in that position. Charles apparently made President Bush aware of this plan when he was in Washington earlier this year. When Tony Blair met with President Bush last month in Washington, this plot was relayed to Blair, who told Bush that Brown was too liberal and would pull British troops from Iraq and screw up the game plan. Another scenario involving a terrorist plot was then put together to derail the original one to oust Blair. Tony Blair then met with Rupert Murdoch in California after he left Washington. Former Israeli Prime Minister Shimon Peres was reportedly at that meeting, along with executives from Murdoch's Sky News in London. Now, that's the same outfit that Member of Parliament George Galloway devastated in an interview last week regarding the Israeli invasion of Lebanon. So, can it be a coincidence that Fox News broke the Gatorade bomb story? And is it a coincidence that another of Murdoch's newspapers, called The Sun, is now saying that one of the 24 British suspects had met with Galloway on numerous occasions? This is your wake-up call global news update.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
This is Judy Mosca. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. As a master gardener, I'll answer your questions about what grows and what doesn't, how to control annoying garden pests, and help you create colorful flower gardens and the freshest fruits and vegetables you've ever tasted. Join me, Judy Mosca, for A Gardener's Notebook, Mondays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the gardening issues that matter most to you.
Monday on the Wake Up Call, we look at the Israeli offensive in Lebanon from a tactical and political perspective with retired Army Colonel and Defense Analyst Douglas McGregor. Has this conflict produced an alliance of Muslims against both Israel and the United States? How much and what type of death and destruction furthers democracy and prosperity? A provocative look at this situation Monday morning at 8 on The Wake Up Call.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
A dedication to all the refugees worldwide. One time. Say, say, say. I remember when we used to sit in a government yard in Brooklyn. About something, the crookedness. I did mingle with the good people we meet. Good friends we had, oh, good friends we've lost. Hello, the world. In this great future, you can't forget your past. So dry your tears, I say, until my peeps who passed away. No woman, no cry.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to email me, please do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get to me. We now have a ceasefire accord in Lebanon, but not before Israel poured troops into the southern into southern Lebanon on Saturday. I have to ask the question of did the second most powerful military, the highest funded, the most armed military, how did they win? Did they get their soldiers back? Did they crush Hezbollah? What's the win out of this? You know, I'm no George Patton. I don't have the expertise in fighting in those kinds of wars. But help me with the win on this. Because I'm certain that we can be clear on the losses of hundreds of children and women and men, innocents, killed by Israeli soldiers in Lebanon. Isn't that something? Somebody's in your country killing you and people like you, and you're called insurgents fighting them. You're called guerrillas when you fight back. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? And now there's more of Israel in Lebanon than there was before. We're in an awful place. And when the country that you called the Axis of Terror, Axis of Evil, I'm sorry, part of the Axis of Evil, the president of Iran was on 60 Minutes last night. And he said to the guy that's sitting in the White House, you know, you really should be more about peace. Isn't that something? Now, last time I looked, Iran hasn't invaded another country. And again, I don't know everything. Iran is not shooting nuclear weapons. I'm trying to figure out who's the wrongdoer here. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call. Good morning.
Hello, Liz.
Good morning.
This all stems from 9/11. I know your show. You've talked about the 9/11 being an inside job before.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to point out a couple of websites that would help people to understand a little bit more of what's going on. But scholarsfor911truth.org, it's a collection of professors from around the United States who have a serious problem with the official explanation of 9/11. And I think it's a huge barrier for people. In fact, it's probably the first barrier in my wake-up that I had to get beyond was learning that 9/11 was an inside job carried out by our government in order to facilitate the movement of the New World Order and basically a return to slavery for all people, all free people. And I think we all need to do our homework in that area and get with it.
When you talk to your friends and neighbors out there about this, are they more in your mindset or are they in Bush's mindset?
I'd say 60% are still in the Bush camp, but I've done a lot of work to open minds, worked very, very hard, and it's really the main reason people don't want to look or face the 9/11 issue, and you'll hear all kinds of excuses as to why they don't want to, but the number one reason is because they're afraid. They'll make excuses as to why it's trash or it doesn't make sense or, you know, they just don't want to face it, but it stems from fear. And once you overcome that fear and start to really take a look at things, as would anybody who's, you know, got any sense of intelligence, they need to face the facts. And just, for instance, Building 7, you know, wasn't even hit by an airplane. How can people explain that away, you know?
How can you explain that they haven't released any of the tapes from the gas stations that were right across the street from the Pentagon?
Exactly.
How can you explain that? I mean, those tapes would show that. I'm not asking to see all of the every single inch of the tape, but show me where something went in the building that looked like a plane.
Exactly, and they're moving toward more. They're trying to get their, you know, the start of World War One was August 22nd, and you hear Fox News talking about the president of Iran is gonna make his decision about the nukes on August 22nd. Fox News is really blowing that date up as if it's, you know, I think, you know, from all the signs, all the indicators are in that they're getting ready to do something again. This government, the top echelons of this government is going to run another drill very soon. In fact, they had a drill in St. Louis, did they not, last week?
Yes, they did,
at
Bush Stadium. Yes, they did.
Yeah, I'm sorry to call these people that take part in this stuff, you know, fools, if you will. I mean, 5,000 people, you know.
Can you believe that 5,000 people went over to Bush Stadium to participate in that? That was scary.
You know, it's to get people acclimated to this whole terror thing, you know, just like this whole thing, sky terror, you know, every news organization talking about sky terror because of this London thing. And I'm happy to hear that there's a network that at least this is the only one in St. Louis that I've heard on any AM frequency. But hats off to you, Liz, and keep up the great work. And every time I come into town, I make sure I catch you. So
thank you for that. And we also, I want to tell people to try loosechange911.com.
Absolutely. Great movie.
And also at the Urban Institute, we gave away about 15 copies of Loose Change, and we'll have about 50 more to give away next week. So thanks for calling.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Okay. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We'll be back to talk about, it's almost the anniversary of Katrina. And we need to talk about what's happening with our babies there. Stay with me.
Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, some brothers.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. And then, silence. Israeli and Hezbollah troops kept up their attacks right until a ceasefire took effect earlier today. Major Jonathan Davis is a spokesman for the Israeli army.
We've stopped the offensive, and as far as we're concerned, we are observing the ceasefire at the express wishes of the democratically elected government of the State of Israel, and the ceasefire is being observed.
There is sporadic fire, however, along the border. At least one Hezbollah fighter is dead in what is being described as an isolated incident. Think you figured out what you can and can't take on a plane? Think again.
TSA regulations.
Mascara, yogurt, and those gel shoe inserts are still off limits, but small doses of non-prescription liquid medicine are now okay. Passengers must remove their shoes at security, and travelers to London can expect a second screening of carry-on bags to make sure beverages purchased beyond security don't make it on board. The government says these tweaks are meant to make things smoother, but they do not mean the threat is over.
ABC's Aaron Kutursky. Now, we are still at code red for some flights, but Britain has already backed off on its alert level.
Extra security measures at UK airports are being relaxed but not done away with. From Tuesday, passengers will be allowed to carry on one laptop-sized piece of hand baggage, but cosmetics, toiletries, and liquids are banned. And as Tony Douglas, chief executive of the British Airport Authority, explains, there are even stricter procedures for US-bound passengers.
You will not be permitted to take any liquid or gel items purchased into the departures lounge, into the aircraft cabin.
Meanwhile, hand searches of passengers has been cut by 50%, dramatically reducing the long lines that resulted in chaos over the weekend. Linda Alvin, ABC News, London.
If you filled your car, you know the price of gas is up again. The latest Lundberg survey says the average price is now $3.03 a gallon. This is ABC News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our Ad and Prevention magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
With energy prices on the rise and a lot of talk about global warming, many businesses think now it's a good time to go green, or at least take some steps in that direction.
They're some of the newest, most extravagant additions to New York's already spectacular skyline, and part of a growing trend of companies going green. The futuristic headquarters for the Hearst Corporation is lit nearly entirely by the sun. The new Bank of America Tower will turn scraps from the cafeteria into methane to supply the building's electricity. Good for the environment, but also good for business.
ABC's Gigi Stone in Atlanta. If you're stressed, you might want to try singing. 10 spankers in London are trying a combination of yoga, the Alexander technique, and breathing exercises, then belting it out. That's the same thing singers do to get rid of pre-performance jitters. A new Muppet is moving to Sesame Street. Her name is Abby Cadabby. She's a 3-year-old fairy in training, and she is the first female Muppet to join the show in over a decade. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's a report of WGNU News that's brought to you by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, the Defense Department confirms the death of a Granite City, Illinois soldier in Iraq. 26-year-old Sergeant Stephen Minemeyer was one of two soldiers reported duty status whereabouts unknown last Tuesday when their Black Hawk helicopter crashed into a lake. Minemeyer's body was recovered Wednesday. The body of the other soldier in the crash, 25-year-old Sergeant Jeffrey Brown of Trinity Center, California, was recovered Thursday. In DeSoto, Missouri, a man is hospitalized after police say he held them at bay for several hours. The standoff began Saturday night in the 1800 block of Deer Creek when authorities say the man threatened suicide. He allegedly fired on police several times during the standoff before being taken into custody early Sunday morning. No officers were hurt in the incident. Police are not releasing details on the man's condition or on how he was injured. In other news, two people are recovering from serious injuries after an accident yesterday in St. Peter's. The Missouri Highway Patrol says a 49-year-old O'Fallon woman was traveling at a high rate of speed when she rear-ended another car on westbound I-70 near Mid Rivers yesterday afternoon. Both drivers were taken to the hospital with moderate to serious injuries. And one woman is dead and a St. Louis police officer recovering after a crash in North St. Louis. Police say a car collided with a police cruiser at Natural Bridge and Geraldine late Friday night. The officer and the driver of the other car were both taken to the hospital. A woman riding in the other car was pronounced dead at the scene. And that WGNU News update was brought to you by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. MoDOT is working hard to make I-44 smoother and safer for motorists. Remember to stay alert and be aware of night work. Drive smart, arrive alive. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 270 at Page, a disabled vehicle on right shoulder. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to Graham Hanley. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 44 from Mraz to 270. Delays are possible in the right lane. Northbound 270 is stop and go on either side of 44. Eastbound 40 from 141 to 270. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through Mid Rivers. Look for heavy volume going on there as well. Northbound 55 at Merrimack Bottom and 270. It's flowing freely now. And all your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, you can help a child excel in school. Through September, donate school supplies to KidSmart by dropping them off at the service department of your participating Toyota dealer. Toyota, moving you forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning, early this afternoon. A 50% chance of showers with a high in the upper 80s. This evening, cooler, partly cloudy, low in the mid-60s. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have hazy skies and 79 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 79 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Our guest will be Jenny Damaris from Save the Children. We'll be focusing on the lack of child care and educational resources that are still affecting the Gulf Coast 1 year after Hurricane Katrina. How can the area possibly recover if the children can't be provided for? Did you know that half the neighborhoods in New Orleans have no licensed child care programs today? And only a third of the Head Start programs are back up and running. Another story you'll hear only on the Wake Up Call, Monday morning at 7.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, tell my sisters. I think
all of you, and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. We are trying to get our guest for this hour. In the meantime, we're going to cover a couple of other issues before we get our guest. So you can give me a call at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. My name is Liz Brown. I want to thank everybody for coming out to the Urban Institute on Saturday. We are getting much work done. We really, really are getting amazing work done as we work towards where we stand, what we're about in this community. So I want to thank you all and welcome anybody else that wants to come out to the Urban Institute with Irene J. Smith and myself on Saturday at 9 a.m. That's 1020 North Taylor, 1020 North Taylor. Come on out, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's a phone number here. And next Saturday, if you want to join us at the Urban Institute, you're invited. We handed out lots of copies of Loose Change. We'll have some more to hand out next week. Probably 50 more to hand out next week. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Linda, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. Listen, I was listening to you earlier today, and I missed you when you were here last Thursday.
Okay. Needed to take a break.
I understand. Totally. I was thinking about the terrorist plot. It's amazing that this is happening over in Tony Blair's part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Why is that amazing to you?
Well, I'm using that being facetious.
I understand. I understand. But let the audience know why you're saying that facetiously.
Because that's a buddy of Bush's.
There you go.
Now, these are mind-altering idiots that we have in office. And they're playing with our mind, or they're trying to play with minds, but they forget that we are not all aggressively ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where are these people that they supposedly arrested for plotting to blow up these planes? 21 of them. How do we know that this is not something that's been fabricated to keep America at bay or in their control?
Or not even, I wouldn't use the terms at bay, Linda. What I would say is to bring the poll numbers back up for George Bush.
Exactly.
To go back and to beat the familiar drum that got him into office, that got him, that caused him to stay in office and cause a number of politicians to get elected. They're going back to the game that they are familiar with playing, and that is trying to scare the bejesus out of people and to make people so afraid that they will accept any kind of treatment. They want us to return to the role of battered wives so that they can continue to wreak their havoc.
I think it's just It's sad. And I hope that we as a people will wake up and see what's going on and not fall for this plot that they're trying to put on us. Am I on the right track here?
Absolutely. I believe absolutely. We always have, number one, you know, we always have to question authority. We always have to challenge authority. And we also have to speak truth to power. It is outrageous that Dick Cheney slithered out of his vacation hole to articulate the point that the loss of Joe Lieberman to Ned Lamont has a connection to terror supporting. That is a shame, gang, but it is outrageous. It is outrageous in a democracy that simply because an election did not go the way that you wanted it to go, that you advocated for it to go, and that you supported it to go, it didn't go the way you wanted it to, now you're with the terrorists. That's
because he wants Joe Lieberman to be in office so he can be beat.
Beg your pardon?
He wants Joe Lieberman to have won. Because he knows that if Joe Lieberman goes up against a Republican, he's going to lose.
No, that's not why Joe Lieberman is the same thing as having a Republican in office. He's the one that George Bush kissed. He's the one that who beats up on Democrats. No, having Joe Lieberman in office is just the same as having a Republican in office. That's why the Republicans are not putting any money into any, the head of the Republican Party said yesterday on Meet the Press, no, we're not putting a dime into the race, the Republican race in the state of Connecticut for the United States Senate. Why wouldn't you? Because they feel like they have their man in Joe Lieberman.
I see. A wolf in sheep's clothing.
Or just a wolf. He hadn't had sheep clothing on in a long time. Just a wolf.
Thank you so much, Liz.
All right. Thank you, Linda. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
At the Israeli offensive in Lebanon from a tactical and political perspective with retired Army Colonel and defense analyst Douglas McGregor. Has this conflict produced an alliance of Muslims against both Israel and the United States? How much and what type of death and destruction furthers democracy and prosperity? A provocative look at this situation Monday morning at 8 on The Wake Up Call.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
The First Run Theater is holding a playwriting workshop on Saturday at DeSmet Jesuit High School from 9 to 4. The workshop takes place in morning and afternoon sessions. Tickets are $10 for each session or $16 for the entire day. Register online at firstruntheater.com, email at info@firstruntheater.com, or call 314-352-5114. Something theatrical for you from WGNU.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care. Access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Monday morning at 7, our guest will be Jenny Damaris from Save the Children.
we'll be focusing on the lack of child care and educational resources that are still affecting the Gulf Coast 1 year after Hurricane Katrina. How can the area possibly recover if the children can't be provided for? Did you know that half the neighborhoods in New Orleans have no licensed child care programs today? And only a third of the Head Start programs are back up and running. Another story you'll hear only on the Wake Up Call, Monday morning at 7.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Holding back this, thinking about the fear I've had so long. When somebody hears, listen to the fear that's gone.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We're coming up on the anniversary, the year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. And I think when we hit the anniversary date, my prediction, Liz Brown's prediction is that we're going to hear more stories about what hasn't been done than what has been done. This is an unprecedented disaster. Unprecedented disaster. Yet and still, we haven't had an unprecedented response to it. And as all of you know, listen to this show, how much the plight of the babies, they impact me. That's where my focus is. We need to talk about where the babies are, where the children are, almost a year after Hurricane Katrina. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., the spokesperson for Save the Children, Kate Conrad. Kate, good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Kate, almost a year after Hurricane Katrina, what's the state of children in terms of their schools, in terms of their daycares, and in terms of resources for children in New Orleans? What's the status?
Well, children in New Orleans, just as children all along the Gulf and especially Mississippi and parts of Alabama, face great challenges. New Orleans, very few of the schools are open. Child care centers, nearly 80% of them were destroyed, and there are entire neighborhoods where there's no school, there's no child care, there's no safe place for a child to go, there's no safe places for them to play. They're surrounded by debris. More and more studies keep coming out about the state of the soil content, arsenic in the soil, and as we see in disasters all over the world, that children's needs aren't taken into account when you plan for a disaster, when you try to recover for a disaster.
And can you break it down a little bit more for us? When you say that 80% of New Orleans licensed child care centers are gone, number-wise, what are we talking about?
Well, there were 266 licensed centers before the hurricane, and now there are only 52. And we did a survey about a month ago with Mississippi State University, and went door to door and checked to see if people were open, if they planned to open, if they could open. And more than half, probably about 56%, are expected to never reopen.
Mm. And the reasons are all the same. What are some of the reasons?
Well, it's, they were flooded. They don't have enough insurance. Many of these are private businesses that don't, they can't get the money they need to rehab the building, to bring the children back. And also, their neighborhoods are destroyed. And families aren't moving back. They face this sort of chicken and egg kind of conundrum where, it's hard to move back if you're working parents and you want to go back to your neighborhood, but there's no safe place to leave your children, while you go look for a job or while you try to rebuild your house, you're probably not coming back.
And in terms of the economic impact of this and then the economic recovery of New Orleans, with 80% of the licensed child care centers gone, how much of an impact is that on the economic recovery?
Well, I would suggest that it's significant. I mean, I don't know that anybody's placed a number on it, but I can tell you that in Mississippi, we're working on 33 daycare centers. This our project in Mississippi, our child care project, started earlier, obviously, because New Orleans was flooded. But we're working with Chevron Corporation, which is the largest employer in Mississippi, because they understood that their employees couldn't come back to work. So we're rebuilding 33 child care centers, and we're getting ready to move into six other damaged counties to repair child care. So they see the economic impact. But I don't know that anybody's placed a number on it, but it's got to be significant.
And in terms of the resources that are available for child care centers, is there any kind of governmental assistance that these specific types of businesses can receive?
Well, I think, you know, they're probably small business loans. It depends on your insurance, but if you didn't have flood insurance or you didn't have the right kind of insurance. The state of Louisiana asked us and Mississippi State to come in to look over the situation of child care, so there is some focus on it now, at least in New Orleans, but I don't know what the state's planning to do.
What's the solution to this, Kate? What are some of the things that can be done to address this?
Well, I think that a more concerted effort to make sure that there are child care centers up and running, licensed, you know, and available in these areas, the state could, you know, maybe the state could have a special plan to help out in that regard. There are private organizations such as Save the Children, that are, you know, we're working right now to try to help out and try to ease that. But, I mean, it comes down to this isn't going to be the only natural disaster this country faces. And until we start to focus on this, the special and unique needs of children before, during, and after the crisis, I think that we're going to have a problem the next time, and that New Orleans and elsewhere along the coast are going to continue to have a problem.
You said that you've just now been asked to come in and take a look at this from the state of Louisiana. Is that frustrating to you as an entity for the people to just now start to get this, particularly since, you know, parents cannot work if their kids are not safe. Parents are not going to come into a community if there's no place to leave their babies, and businesses help the economy, so that the economy is not helped when these businesses are unable to open. Is it frustrating for you as an entity to be asked in at that almost a year after?
Well, it's certainly difficult, although we're glad they focused on it. I mean, what's more frustrating is to see mothers with toddlers clinging to their knees working behind the counters of, you know, fast food restaurants or convenience stores, and we saw a lot of that especially in the early days. Women, working women especially, just trying to earn a little money for their family, with their kids in tow. So I think we're very delighted that they're focusing on it now. We hope that they move quickly to rectify the situation, or at least set up, you know, I mean, you can probably always set up something temporary in the interim while everybody rebuilds. I mean, New Orleans got smacked, and we all know that, but, you know, it's really bad down there. So the recovery is not going to be quick for anything, but we would like to see clearly a greater focus on children, and that's all we do as an agency.
We're going to have a few more minutes of a conversation with Kate Conrad. She's a spokesperson for Save the Children. We're talking about how the extensive loss of daycare centers in New Orleans really has an impact on the economic recovery. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 270 at 367 in West Florissant, very heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 at Mraz overpass in 270, look for delays in the right lane. Northbound 270 is stop and go from either side of 44. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes all the way into Mid Rivers Mall, look for heavy traffic going on there. Eastbound 40 from 141 to 270, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 in the Canal Bridge, very heavy volume going on there. And westbound 64, westbound King Bridge traffic, westbound Eads Bridge traffic, and northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect delays as westbound 5570 onto the PSB. You've got paving operations going on, and it is slow around the King exit and around the Exchange and then around 4th Street as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play pick three from the Illinois Lottery. Watch the green ball. Double draw, one green ball, two chances to win. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning and early this afternoon, and becoming partly sunny, a 50% chance of showers today. The high should be in the upper 80s. For this evening, look forward to cooler, partly cloudy, low in the mid-60s. For Tuesday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 79 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 79 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby. And we'd like to invite you to join us on The Design Life every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
We hope you'll join us as we talk about designing your life to achieve success and fulfillment.
Monday on the Wake Up Call, we look at the Israeli offensive in Lebanon from a tactical and political perspective with retired Army Colonel and defense analyst Douglas McGregor. Has this conflict produced an alliance of Muslims against both Israel and the United States? How much and what type of death and destruction furthers democracy and prosperity? A provocative look at this situation Monday morning at 8 on the Wake Up Call.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Oh, Lord, turn on the television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's run up, but we got to.
Oh,
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning I am talking to the spokesperson for Save the Children. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. Her name is Kate Conrad. We are talking about the impact of the loss of child care services in child care centers in New Orleans after Katrina. And Kate, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz, for having me.
Now, can we talk a little bit about the places that have been able to get child care up and running? Do we see people coming back to those communities? What are those communities looking like, and how many of those do we have?
There are 52 centers that are open, again, out of 266 that were open before the storm, licensed centers. I mean, there were a lot of also in-house unlicensed centers where sort of grandma took in the kids or maybe the neighbor's kids. But it's spotty, and it depends on how badly the neighborhood was damaged and, you know, whether people are coming in with children. And it also depends on whether schools are open, too, for the older kids.
And we're also, not only are we seeing an absence of the child care centers opening up, but the schools themselves. How many of the elementary schools are we having open up?
I'm not sure the number, but they're open on the West Bank. They're starting to open up in those areas. New Orleans, there are fewer. I think there are only four high schools that are open. It's a small number of elementary schools that are open in New Orleans proper.
We hear a lot of talk, Kate, about the numbers of people that are not coming back to New Orleans after Katrina. Where are we with the children? Do we have the need for as many child daycare centers as we did before? Do we know what the numbers of children are in New Orleans right now?
They're not sure yet how many people have returned, and they expect, in fact, they're expecting more and more people to return this month or last month because school is starting, and a lot of people were probably allowing their children to finish the school year wherever they were sort of sent off to after the storm. There were about 186,000 children who were evacuated from New Orleans, but they are coming back, and we also see, we've heard stories of sort of teenagers and younger kids coming back to take care of grandparents who may have stayed and didn't evacuate or who just sort of weren't happy with their situation who've come back, and there are, you know, kind of kids running around on their own in the city, which is another issue.
And you have been down there. You were talking about knocking on the doors of these daycare facilities, trying to figure out and to assess who's open and why they're not, and why, if you're not open, why you're not open. Mm-hmm. How surprised do you think people would be to find out about the circumstances that people are living in New Orleans, that not a lot has changed for people? Is it?
I think people would be shocked. The devastation is still so apparent, and you see signs of hope, or at least signs of optimism, even in the lower Ninth Ward, which was one of the most seriously affected areas. I mean, it's house after house of, you know, barely standing on its foundations and cars that have rammed through the middle of the house by the force of the water. But then you see, you know, one or two people on the block who've come back and who are cleaning up and trying to rebuild their lives. But, you know, I don't see any children in that neighborhood. And it's too dangerous. I mean, they're surrounded by debris. They're surrounded by toxic waste.
What about Head Start?
Head Start programs are equally affected. Just as the schools closed, the Head Start programs closed, the early Head Start programs closed. So all the sort of educational continuum for kids and care and structure for children, you know, as young as small babies has been devastated.
Now we know that we can figure out that 80% of the licensed child care centers are gone. What about the unlicensed centers? Should we be looking at those as well in terms of the loss to the city of New Orleans of child care options for families?
Well, I think yes, of course. I mean, any safe and structured and loving place to care for children that's gone is bad news. But you
is
know,
there any way to
difficult
measure
to count them?
So there's no way to measure that loss.
I don't think so.
So in terms of where we are now and what people should be looking at now and what people should be doing now, what are the recommendations for, from Save the Children?
Well, we would suggest that more funds be made available to bring back and rejuvenate the child care centers and to, you know, stock them. Even if they still have a building standing, they don't have any books, they don't have any toys. We think that, you know, any assistance to get the centers that are close to opening open quickly is a good quick solution of, you know, a first aid solution, and then we work on others, and then we look at neighborhoods where businesses are coming back but people aren't, and try to build and construct safe places for children so that their parents come back and their parents, you know, can go to work, you know, and knowing that their children are safe. And then in the future, that any disaster, we need to put the children, you know, we need to make children a priority before, during, and after a crisis. And that includes setting up safe play areas in arenas where people were staying, in convention halls, in tents. Right now we're working with FEMA to start to do that in the trailer parks.
And part of the problem, or the part of the challenge of businesses like daycare centers, all small businesses have challenges, but these are particularly fragile types of businesses, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't bring in a lot of revenue. Some are quite small. Most of them don't care for more than 100 kids, and they can't take on a lot of debt. They can't charge a lot of money, especially in poor neighborhoods. So the margins are thin, and when, you know, you suffer a disaster of some sort, it's very hard to come back.
And not only are the margins thin, you also, in terms of trying to get these businesses back, they were fragile to begin with. So part of the help of these businesses would also be funding to help them sustain themselves for a period of time.
I think that would be a great idea.
So where can people go to find out more information about the state of children in New Orleans with respect to daycare? Where can they go?
We have the study up on our website, which is www.savethechildren.org. And that, to date, is the most comprehensive study on child care in the city. For now.
Very good. Kay Conrad, spokesperson for Save the Children, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for caring.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. I'll be back to take your calls, your questions, your comments, your concerns. Stay with me.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. I'm delighted to say that Curran Events is now on Monday nights from 8 to 10 o'clock. Curran Events, where we encourage discussions for both sides of an issue. That way we can learn from each other. That's Jim Curran, Curran Events, Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station for the issues that matter most.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. people, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Monday on the Wake Up Call, we look at the Israeli offensive in Lebanon from a tactical and political perspective with retired Army Colonel and defense analyst Douglas McGregor. Has this conflict produced an alliance of Muslims against both Israel and the United States? How much and what type of death and destruction furthers democracy and prosperity? A provocative look at this situation Monday morning at 8 on the Wake Up Call.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. For free estimates, call 602-1047. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline, New Orleans. The American Civil Liberties Union says jailers at the Orleans Parish Prison walked away and left hundreds of prisoners to fend for themselves last year during Hurricane Katrina. The ACLU says the inmates became trapped in cells that were flooded with sewage-contaminated water chest deep and had no food or drinking water after guards left their posts. This created some of the worst horrors of the storm. The sheriff in charge of the jail calls those allegations nothing more than a pack of lies. And Dateline Berlin. Walmart is giving up efforts to capture the German market. It has handed over 85 stores to its rival called Metro. Walmart had been battling against Metro and Aldi's for the lion's share of the discount food market, and that fight has been going on for nearly a decade. Walmart is just going to give the store locations away to Metro, and that's going to cost the retail giant over $1 billion, while Metro does not have to take on any debt at all. Walmart is blaming the bad economic situation in Germany for its decision. Walmart earlier this year announced it's getting out of South Korea and selling its 16 stores there to South Korea's biggest discount store chain for over $800 million. Walmart entered the South Korean market in 1998, but last year was fifth among that country's leading discounters. Walmart is also being sued by a corporation that sells upscale handbags, wallets, and keychains, claiming that Walmart is marketing cheap knockoffs under its own designer name of Fendi. All of those type products are made cheaply, they're made cheaply in third world countries, but some of them wind up getting to larger retailers who then try to peddle them as discounted high fashion items. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you by Philip Person Roofing. If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Your number 454-0400. That's mine. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Huh? you think that this so-called terror thing going on out in Great Britain, where they're confiscating your bottled water, your cognac, your Elizabeth Arden anti-aging products. You think that has anything to do with terrorists? You think that Tony Blair really captured 21 people that were trying to take down planes flying from Great Britain to the United States? You think? Huh? Or do you think that it is an opportunity for heavy-handed, agenda-driven, monetarily minded politicians to have their way under the cover of scaring the bejesus out of you and me? Dick Cheney came out of his vacation hole and said that, and jumped on the Ned Lamont, a win in a democracy, a Democratic primary. Ned Lamont came out, fought Joe Lieberman, and won. And Dick Cheney called that a terrorist act. And we have the head of Homeland Security saying, you know, we should be allowed to torture. We should be allowed to spy on Americans. We should be able to listen in on your phone calls and not be able to tell you. There need to be more secret courts. This arrest proves that torture works. That's what they're saying. The foundation of what they're saying is that torture works. And our administration is using what happened in Great Britain, what they say happened in Great Britain, as a means to push programs that have been deemed illegal, immoral, unethical, and unnecessary. And it's not just us. Tony Blair, under the cover of terrorism, is trying to push through a 90-day detention without charge for terror suspects. See, this arrest proves that we need to be able to hold people for 90 days without charging them. What are you talking about? Even when the Irish were bombing the heck out of y'all, y'all didn't have a 90-day without charge rule. Oh, but they brown folks now. they brown now. Now you need... You had blood running through the streets of Great Britain that has never run through the streets, that hasn't run through the streets before. Bombings, assassinations. But now you need a 90-day. Now you need a 90-day detention without charge for terror suspects. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Fella on the car phone.
Who kicked that rock and had Dick Cheney crawl out from under it to make that comment?
Now remember, Dick Cheney couldn't find the press when he shot his friend in the face and in the heart. But now he held a telephonic, what is it? a press conference by telephone.
I got you.
Okay, he held a press conference by telephone to tell the world that the Ned Lamont win is an act of terrorism by the citizens of Connecticut.
They will stoop to.
There is nothing.
I mean, it's...
They already...
Did you catch the Mike Wallace interview?
Yes, I did. Are you talking about the 60 Minutes interview? What was your take of it?
If the people who run this country had a quarter of the sense that man had,
the president of Iran,
we would be in a much better state than what we're in right now.
There are Republican heads that are imploding all over this world right now listening to what you just said.
This man sat up there and said, we've been around for thousands of years.
That is correct.
We believe in dialogue.
Yup.
We believe in talk.
Yup.
We don't threaten you.
And
your president and your heads of your country, they threaten you, threaten my people.
And I love that. But what the thing that Mike Wallace did that I thought proved the president of Iran's point about the disdain that too many people in this country have for other countries, the disrespect they have for people that look like the man that he was talking about. I thought it was fascinating when the president of this country now, okay, this is the president of Iran, said, I've got to go, and Mike Wallace looked him in the face and said, no, the most important thing that you have to do is to talk to me. Kiss my grits. Kiss my grits.
I sit up there and I watch this man, and then these people who are running around talking about Hitlerists, and they got George even said Islamic fascists. You know, these people, America, y'all need to wake up and quit letting your rulers run around here and threaten people and get us in wars that we have no business being in.
We cannot afford.
You don't even talk to the people.
Fact.
All we got to do is go over there. Let me go over there. I'll talk to the man.
Fact.
And let's stop this craziness. Israel and those Zionists are running us down the river. They don't give a damn about this country. They're spending money. They're building weapons. They're bombing the hell out of them people. And then they want to sit up there and say, well, Iran is giving Hezbollah rockets. Well, who's giving Israel rockets and bombs and planes and money to go and do what they're doing to the Lebanese?
Thanks for your call.
Have a good one, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. Mike.
Yes, Liz.
Yes.
I've listened to your show off and on for the last how many years, over a couple of years or so, so on and so forth.
Okay.
I just want to know if there's anything that you like about the United States of America.
Anything that you haven't heard anything that I like about America by listening to my show?
I've never heard you say anything good about it.
Really? I've said I love the Constitution. I've said I loved it when people follow the Constitution. I love the idea of the laws that we have in this country. I love the idea that we have people like Maxine Waters that speak truth to power. I love
you
the
love
I
your,
wait a minute, I'm not freedom. Finished. I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet. You asked me the question, I'm going to answer it. I love the idea that we have a democracy where someone like Ned Lamont came out and said, you know what, Joe Lieberman is on the wrong side of the issues. He is not part of an opposition party, and he needs to be defeated. And I love the fact when things like that happen. Absolutely. I love those are some of the things that I love. Why is that important to you?
Well, you said you love the fact that you have a democracy, correct?
The theory of one.
Yes.
We don't have a democracy in practice.
That's fair to have one in Iran and Iraq.
You know what I think? I think that it is the arrogance of America to say that how I live is how everybody else should live. The idea of a democracy is letting people be. The idea of a democracy is to allow other countries to live as they choose to do, as if there's nothing in the Constitution that says we're going to force this idea of democracy down the throat of a kicking and resisting another country.
I'm pretty sure that's what the Iranian people want.
Wait a minute. Where in the Constitution does it say that we're supposed to stick this down the throat of anybody and everybody in the world? Where does it say that?
Well, everybody's always asking for our help whenever there's any problem.
Well,
they come to us.
People ask for help from the mafia too.
Over in Pakistan, and all the money goes to the earthquake in Pakistan. What
Mike,
do we do with it?
Mike,
use it for the terrorists.
Mike, people
oh,
ask.
God,
Mike, people ask for help from the mafia too. That doesn't make the mafia legitimate, does it?
Well, let's put it this way.
Huh?
Terrorism is real.
Yeah, I know. I live in America. I live in America. All you have to do to find out about how real terrorism is, go to Guantanamo Bay. American-made terrorism. You're right, buddy. Terrorism is real. I live in America, and I know it clearer than anybody else. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that?
Yeah. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me. Below me.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. How long can a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah last? Israeli Foreign Ministry spokesman Mark Regev says the Jewish state will do its part.
We want to see this process work, and so Israeli soldiers are under strict orders, only defensive action in accordance with 1701.
That doesn't mean all is quiet, though, along the border.
Israeli warplanes hit this area saying they were targeting Hezbollah. But today, Hezbollah's propaganda machine was out in force, handing out flags and posters of their defiant leader.
That's ABC's John Berman in Beirut. Just when you think you know what you can and you can't take on a plane with you, the TSA changes the rules again. ABC's Nancy Wiener has more from New York's LaGuardia Airport.
Liquids, lotions, and gels are still banned. There are a few exceptions for liquid medication. Even gel-filled baby teethers and children's toys with gel inside are not allowed. Aerosol cans are a definite no. Passengers can buy liquids once they get past the security checkpoint, but have to dispose of them before their flight. Sales at duty-free shops and newsstands have plummeted.
And while the U.S. is still at code red for some flights coming into the country, Britain has relaxed its alert level. It's no longer critical. It's now severe. The price of gas is up again. The Lundberg survey says you'll now pay $3.03 on an average. Gas prices, by the way, could be a major factor in the November elections. Some polls say bringing them down is as important to voters as terrorism or immigration. Jill Carroll is telling the story of the 82 days she spent in Iraqi captivity to the Christian Science Monitor, the paper that she works for. She says she feared for her life every single day. Wasn't too long ago the cost of a laptop computer could set you back at least $2,000. Times have changed. USA Today says prices are at an all-time low, most below $1,000. You can get some bargain models below $400. ABC News.
Into Office Depot today for incredible deals on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, two pocket paper portfolios are 10 for a dollar, and one subject wirebound notebooks are just 6 for 60 cents. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credits to your child's school. So hurry into Office Depot for great back to school deals. See store for details. While supplies last, quantities limited.
Criminal justice is one of America's fastest-growing career fields. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue exciting entry-level opportunities. At the ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice, they teach you the fundamentals of the criminal justice system. Classes meet just a few days a week, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 1-800-851-4499. 1-800-851-4499.
Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
A musician who took jazz where it's never gone before has died.
Of all the musical instruments that have been used to play jazz over the years, would you have suspected bagpipes? Rufus Harley adapted the bagpipes to jazz. In fact, he was billed as the world's first jazz bagpiper, even though he acknowledged everybody thought he was crazy to do so. But he would become a frequent sideman to some of the greats, playing haunting sounds alongside the likes of Dizzy Gillespie and John Coltrane. We're getting word that Harley died from prostate cancer earlier this month in Philadelphia. Rufus Harley was 70. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Bill Gates says the key to stopping the spread of AIDS is to give women a cream, a gel, or a pill that they could use to protect themselves from the virus. The Microsoft founder has already given about $2 billion to HIV programs worldwide, and he says he'll give more, but he wants governments and other donors to step up to the plate, too. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This WGNU News report is brought to you by Office Depot. I'm Peyton Colston reporting.
In the news, in Illinois, veterans who make too much for federal help but not enough to pay for their own insurance will soon have a third option. Governor Rob Blagojevich used Veterans Day at the Illinois State Fair to tout his Veterans Care Program. It will give vets coverage at $40 a month plus copays for doctors and prescriptions.
There are more than 1.7 million veterans, veterans from previous wars, veterans who served in peacetime, and even some veterans who serve today in Iraq and Afghanistan, who come home only to discover, because of the way the federal laws are written, that they fall through a loophole and they don't have health care.
Vets Care will only cover 9,000 people in Illinois, and the governor says it's the least the state can do. In other news, a Valley Park man remains hospitalized with severe burns after a fire at his house. Authorities say the fire started in the garage Friday morning at the home in the 100 block of Wednesday. The man got his two small children out of the house unharmed, but suffered critical burns over most of his own body. And finally, at this hour, many people may be feeling a bit anxious about flying, given the news that British authorities foiled a terrorist attack aimed at the U.S. Stephen Bruce, the director of the Center for Trauma and Recovery at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, says that's normal.
One of the kind of hallmark symptoms is really just feeling increased anxiety, difficulty sleeping. Some may also feel, once they've heard this story occur, they may have lots of reminders, visual reminders of what occurred 5 years ago.
Bruce notes that a fear of flying is normal since the terrorists were targeting airplanes. He says to just be careful to not let the fear and anxiety become long-term. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Office Depot. Now at Office Depot, your choice of a 10-pack of pens or a 12-pack of number 2 pencils is just 10 cents. Office Depot, taking care of business. While supplies last, quantities limited. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Northbound 270 between Dorset and 70, look for an object on the roadway, left lane's blocked. Eastbound Olive at Woods Mill, look for an accident there, center lane's blocked. Westbound 40 onto the ramp to northbound, or the northbound ramp to Ballas, look for a disabled vehicle on the shoulder. Westbound 270 at 367 and West Florissant, that traffic is easing after a few slow pockets remaining. Northbound 270 is stop and go on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for a heavy volume going on. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 and the Canal Bridge, that congestion's been cleared, and all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can still expect delays due to the paving operations going on from westbound 5570, which has the traffic slowing down through Tudor Avenue. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play pick three from the Illinois Lottery. Watch for the green ball, double draw, one green ball, two chances to win the Illinois Lottery. Have a ball, play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, a 50% chance of showers this morning, otherwise high in the upper 80s this evening. Partly cloudy, cooler, low in the mid-60s. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s, and Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Currently, we have 80 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 80. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Our power. Please do not beg for
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us. Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Car phone.
Good morning, Liz. How are you today?
I am outstanding.
Yes, always. So, I've got a question. And it would seriously put to bed, put to bed a great deal of the controversy surrounding fluoride irons. That being, has anyone done any statistical research on graduation rates, grade point averages, and so forth of the students that were, I'm not talking about the ones in his classroom, but the ones that were basketball players or in the sports program while he was coach?
You know what?
I would think that would take a great deal, either way it went, and settle this matter right away.
But you know what?
It's great that they have a basketball team that gives the kids something to do, but if they're not getting jobs, if they're not getting out of college, then what's the point? What was the guy's name at Mizzou? I can't remember the coach's name. Great basketball program. But none of the students would graduate from college.
But
so here's the thing
from my perspective. There is no controversy about fluoride irons. The fact of the matter is that there's a handful of people out there that want their sweet gigs back. That's what you're hearing. And the less people say about this, it's going to die on its own volition. And the only person, or the best person to demonstrate that their role is significant beyond the ability to win a basketball game is Floyd Irons himself. It is up to Floyd Irons to bring to the public, look, this is what I'm not impressed that you could get your kids graduated, because that can be done if your kids were all F students. The issue, since you spend more time with these kids than any other adult in the school system, since you have spent more time with these children more than any other person in the district, the issue here is that, okay, you got them to win the basketball game. Did you get them on to college, and were they successful in college? And if they are not, that is your fault, and that is a reflection upon you. And the best person to tell the tale of any kind of success of his would be Floyd. And have you heard anything? No, you haven't, because there is none.
That was my very point, Liz. That was what I just said.
Wait a minute. You asked the question, has anybody done this? And my point is that it's not for anybody to do this. The best person to do this would be Floyd, and the fact that it hasn't happened is an indictment on Floyd and what he has done with these children. Period.
Well, but at the same time, if it was him, he could easily skew his numbers. I'm sure there's some way.
He hasn't even skewed his numbers. Okay,
he hasn't given us anything.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the fact that he hasn't given us anything is an indictment. Is an indictment. Period. Dot. The fact that he hasn't said boo about what happened to these babies outside of after graduation is an indictment on him.
Well, you know what? I know he listens to your show. because he and that goofball football player, you know, they've been trying to get Veronica and Brian and all this.
There you go,
Floyd. Go ahead, put your stats out for us. We know your stats for the ball program. Let's hear your stats for getting those kids in a good job after college.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I saw that interview too with the man in Iran, but I wanted to talk about Mr. Iron. I met one of his victims, and I heard some very unsavory information about him. The best thing for him to do is to slither back out of that rocket camp out Monday.
He needs to shut up, sit down, and go somewhere because
right.
there are too many other stories out here that he doesn't want to reach the light
right.
of day. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a break, folks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me.
Affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance. Insurance where we work to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Cheap baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? My name is Liz Brown. Gee. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. You know I enjoy your program every day. But I wanted to talk about this terrorism stuff. You know, when Tony Blair and Bush were meeting not too long ago. I knew some fiasco was waiting to happen. And this picking up those Arabs and Muslims over in England is just an excuse to terrify anyone who is not a Caucasian. This is a way to pick up people on a made-up excuse. America and England are the bullies in the world, and the world is getting tired of it. But I just want you to think about this. What about the terrorism? What about those people on that plane going to the Dominican Republic a couple of years who were blown up right out of New York? They didn't do all this major alert then, but those people were blown up right out, I think, 3 miles off, and the people in New York saw it and say a missile hit it or something, and America has never told us the truth about that. And the other thing I wanted to talk about, what about the babies who travel, who have, you know, you've been overseas and I've been over with you, and it takes a long time sometimes to get to these places. Now, and this other mess of taking your jail and all that kind of stuff, now who's going to replace that? Are they going to pay the people for that?
What are you talking about?
Like you get your hairspray and your different jails, and women use a lot of makeup and stuff. You know, we have to use
some
that to keep
do.
Us looking different, decent. And now who's going to pay for all that? I saw that in the news. Mm-hmm. All this stuff that they were taking from the people.
Mm-hmm.
This is an excuse to go through your luggage. You know that?
All right.
It's terrorism.
All right.
And thank you so much.
All right. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You got to ask yourself the question. Are you safer today than you were 4 years ago, 6 years ago? Are you safer today? And I realize that most of us are not people that have been trained in terrorism training, picking out terrorists, whatever. And most of us don't have that. But most of us have, at least we can spell common sense. And most of us have had at least a fleeting experience with common sense. A lot of us have had a lot of experience with common sense. So tell me, do you feel safer? Does it make sense that the institution, the new institution created by George Bush, the Department of Homeland Security that brought us Brownie, and Katrina, that has brought us millions and millions and millions of dollars for equipment that we don't need, that has brought us billions of dollars of non-competitive contracts handed out to the friends of George W. Bush? Do you feel safer? Do you feel like some thought has gone into this whole terror assessment thing? When our good nation, under the head of Chernoff, says, okay, we're no longer at red alert, but there will be changes. There will be changes made in our airport security. This is serious stuff, folks. Terrorists are afoot. We have thought about it. We have researched it. We have responded to the terrorism that is pointed directly at the citizens of the United States and our way of living. And our response is, after billions of dollars of assessment, millions of dollars of salaries, hundreds of hours of work and strategy, we've come up with a policy at our airports to keep you safe. And that new policy that will keep the terrorists at bay is, and I quote, everybody removes their shoes from now on. That's the new policy. After allegedly all these folks have been arrested over there in Great Britain for planning and plotting an unprecedented, the biggest terrorist attack in the whole world, the United States response from Homeland Security is, the new policy change will be, everybody has to take their shoes off. Huh? I mean, you would think that this sounds like a Saturday Night Live setup, doesn't it? Like we're getting ready to give you the rest of the joke here. Sadly, I've given you the joke. And the joke is this administration's response, creation of terrorism, and response to it. They think we're stupid and that we have no common sense. Making everybody take off their shoes would have done what with this new alleged terrorist attack? Oh, that's right. Everybody carries their water bottles in their in the heels of their shoes, right? All kinds of liquid in your shoes, right? Take both up. Everybody has to take their shoes off. And what's that phrase? What's that phrase from one of the channels here in town? You paid for that. You paid for that. Ain't that some stuff? That's their solution. Everybody take your shoes off. I feel safer, don't you? I feel safer. 1-877-920-WGNU. Tanya.
Yes.
Yes.
I have a question.
Certainly.
I have a son who went to the county district, and he plays sports.
Mm-hmm.
He's in college right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my job, along with the coach, along with his guidance counselor's job, to get him into college.
Okay.
My question is, I don't understand how, and I have nothing to do, I don't know Coach Irons, I don't know the Rashawn district, I don't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what is the uproar about one coach. It is not his job. It should be a dual job for the parent and the school and the coach. And I don't understand why all the focus on one. Why aren't they talking about other coaches? Roosevelt, Beaumont, the whole district. I don't get it.
You don't get why they're not criticizing other coaches?
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. Why are they focused on this one?
Well, because I would like to direct you to a couple of articles so that you'll understand why the focus on this one. And understand that the focus comes from a handful of people that no longer have their jobs due to Francis Slay losing the election and his candidates no longer maintaining financial control over the district. So what you're hearing a lot of is really kind of howling about people that don't no longer have a financial stream. That aside, we also have, in the case of this particular person, is I would direct you to an article that was written last year, I believe it was last December, in the Riverfront Times, and it talked about how this particular coach took thousands and thousands of dollars and mismanaged it. Thousands of dollars are missing. Thousands of dollars have been spent when there was no authority to spend it. There have been falsified receipts that have been submitted by this individual. So we have the corruption and we have incompetence here.
But to my knowledge, I thought he had some kids. I think it was a Jimmy McKinney that actually he did put in the college. So I'm just
okay. Well, you know,
mismanagement of the money. That's the problem they have.
That's in addition to.
Oh.
Well, and when we look at a person in this particular individual, we also have to look at 20 years worth of coaching. I think we should be able to name more than one person or two people or three people that went on to college after a 20-year assessment. If we're going to calculate based upon what people did after this person was finished with them, then we need to look at a whole 20-year period. And if people can only name one or two people, that's a problem with the 20-year legacy.
I understand it, but I just think it should be other coaches put into that pot.
But everybody hasn't done the corruption that this person has.
That we know of.
Well, we can say that about anything. I can say that about everybody, but we do know that this person has. So we should be focusing on what we have in front of us. And what we have in front of us is a coach that's connected with corruption, a coach that's connected with mismanagement of money. And we also have to ask the question, I live in the city of St. Louis. I live in North St. Louis. And how should it be, why should it be good enough for our babies that we keep a coach that has that kind of connection to corruption? What does that tell our babies about what matters in this world? That as long as your team is winning, you can engage in corrupt behavior. That's a bad message to our babies. And it's not good enough for the babies in St. Louis City. That's my belief. Okay? Thank you, Tanya. 1-877-920-WGNU. I believe, are we going to take a break right about now? Yeah, let's do that. We're going to take a break, and then we will get back to some of your calls, some of your questions, some of your comments, some of your concerns. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
morning, St. Louis, 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic. Northbound 270 at 44 at Marshall, there's traffic congestion going on there. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got paving operations going on in both directions. Guyer at Big Bend is closed due to an accident. Eastbound Page between Westport Plaza and Lindbergh, you've got paving operations going on there. All your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays basically due to the fact that there is paving operations going on in the westbound and in the eastbound lane. So just use caution and give yourself a little bit extra time. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic Restaurants. Drive into Sonic for the new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito. Crispy jalapeno strips and spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because at Sonic, it's your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy this morning and early this afternoon, becoming partly sunny. Chance of showers, high in the upper 80s. This evening, cooler, partly cloudy, low in the mid-60s. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 80 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 80 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the bottom of, or at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Judy Moskoff. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. As a master gardener, I'll answer your questions about what grows and what doesn't, how to control annoying garden pests, and help you create colorful flower gardens and the freshest fruits and vegetables you've ever tasted. Join me, Judy Moskoff, for A Gardener's Notebook, Mondays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the gardening issues that matter most to you.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
On this liquid explosive thing these people over in England were supposed to be putting together, I was watching the BBC news broadcast, and I noticed you used the word a lot this morning, too. In England, they were saying alleged.
Mm-hmm.
They kept saying alleged.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, tripped me this morning when I heard you use it three times. I thought, yeah, what is this? You know, anybody can be alleged of anything. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So do they actually have proof, or I haven't seen names?
They have. I've seen names. There's a listing of the names, I believe, in the New York Times today of individuals that have been arrested. But, again, we remember this. It wasn't a few weeks ago in Florida that they said that that the FBI happened upon this terrorist act of these guys up on a rooftop in Florida, and nothing came of that. And nothing will come of that. And the hard thing is that when you call somebody a terrorist in America now, which is so foul, that now you have to prove yourself innocent.
Well, I have a problem believing anything coming out of this administration's mouth. I've just created a doubtful attitude about everything they say.
Absolutely. And not only this administration, but all of the poodles for this administration, all the lapdogs for this administration.
Well, yeah, because they've lied to it so many times.
And it's an aggressive lie. It is an aggressive patriotic lie.
A bold in your face aggressive lie.
With the tinge of patriotism in it. Like if you are not patriotic if you don't believe the way that we're saying or believe what I am saying.
But you can accuse people of anything. It doesn't make it true until you prove it.
That's fact.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Did you hear what the governor said about the minimum wage?
What? Which governor?
Governor Blunt.
All right.
I hate to mention his name. I hate to give him publicity. He said he don't think we should hurt the little people. The little people is the one that need the minimum wage.
True fact.
Ain't that pitiful? I'm working for a minimum wage, trying to take care of family. Can you believe that?
Well,
that's terrible.
I think that when you have somebody, there was a friend of mine talked to a business associate of his, a business associate that's an older Chinese man from China. This Chinese businessman came into America for a business meeting a few weeks ago. And one of the things that he observed about America was the fact, he said, you all just really don't seem to have respect for the wisdom of elders. And this Chinese businessman said, and case in point would be the person that's sitting in the governor's chair in the state of Missouri. A 30-something-year-old man would barely be able to vote in China, let alone run an entire state like this. This is a person whose youth, whose inexperience, precludes him from being able to make logical conclusions. A person that has been here for a number of years can appreciate what it takes to raise a family, should be able to appreciate what it takes, what it costs to raise a family. But when you have a person that has been handed political advantage and handed political positions his entire life, he has absolutely, I think that he believes from the bottom of his uneducated, unexperienced heart and heartless heart, I believe that he believes that is enough.
And another thing, Liz?
Yes?
You say, are we more safer? Just think about this. You over in Iraq and killed this man, two sons, his baby, and destroyed his country from the beautiful country almost in the world with all that gold, and you talk about, are we safe now? What do you think those people are going to do 10 years from now if the war ever died down, if it ever would die down? We'd kill all kind of people.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And if you want to email me, please do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get up, get to me. There's a fascinating battle that is brewing. You know about the battle in Connecticut, the successful battle waged by Ned Lamont in defeating Joe Lieberman. it is, has sent a shudder across the bow of the political boats, the political part, the Republican Party. A shudder. And that shudder has been responded with, I submit, look over here at terrorism. Everybody has to take their shoes off. You can't take any Gatorade with you on the plane anymore. Look over here, be scared. And then also understand that we have to be able to fight terrorism, and the elimination of Joe Lieberman precludes us from fighting terrorism. That's how it is breaking down. That's what this battle is turning into. That's how much of a shudder the defeat of Joseph Lieberman has sent through the Republican Party. Well, there's another battle that the Republican Party finds themselves in, which is a fascinating one. All along the East Coast, Republican Party is having to do some things that they never thought that they would have to do. In Connecticut, they're finding themselves supporting a Democrat. And now they're having to support a Republican that angered many Republicans by voting against the war, by opposing the tax cuts. I'm talking about Senator Lincoln Chafee. He is one of the most liberal Republicans in the Senate, and he finds himself in a tight primary against Stephen Laffey, a Republican who is backed by national conservative groups. And he's calling himself the Rhodey Reformer, meaning Rhode Island Reformer. And the Republican leaders now find themselves having to embrace a Lincoln Chafee, a man who said no to the tax cuts, a man who voted against the war. The Republicans are now having to embrace Chafee because even Lincoln, Senator Chafee, has, they're not sure that he can win the general election if he wins the primary. But the Republicans are finding themselves having to embrace him because the other dude really can't win the primary. And Chafee is finding himself in an ideological quandary, buddying up with conservatives who he has never supported and didn't want to embrace. Elizabeth Dole, Laura Bush has come to the state on his behalf. That's the good news? That's the good news? Whoo! 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. So the Republicans are having to do funky, crazy things. Support Joe Lieberman. Embrace the dude that voted against all your tax cuts. And you know what? Internal Democratic polls show that Chafee is less popular among the Republicans than he is amongst the Democrats. So it's another fine mess the Republicans find themselves in. Up is down, down is up. Left is shudder, shudder, shudder. Right. These are amazing times. So I guess I don't blame Cheney for being a bit discombobulated when sunlight reached him a few days ago after the win of Ned Lamont. I understand why he was so discombobulated that he would say that was about an act of terrorism as opposed to an act of democracy. I understand. All y'all Republicans are a bit discombobulated right now. I get it. I feel y'all understand. This is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back.
this is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Cape Town. The government of South Africa has told white farmers they have a deadline of 6 months to agree to a selling price to turn over farms to blacks who lost their land under the rule of apartheid. If they fail to give the government a price within that timeline, they could lose the land and get no compensation at all. This is part of a plan to transfer 30% of the nation's farmland back into black hands by the year 2014. This land reform measure was one of the major promises made by the African National Congress when it came into power back in 1994. But so far, only 4% of the land in question has been returned, and now the government is starting to be criticized for that slow pace. Government ministers say white farmers are being too wishy-washy during negotiations, and they're basically getting nowhere fast. One other problem is that families laying claim to the property often have no documentation, so a family tree has to be developed to see if there is any basis for the claim. Plus, if black farmers get the land but get no money to develop it, then they fail and the land produces nothing. And there is the problem that if progress doesn't speed up on this issue, it could blow up into a full-scale political crisis. And Dateline Washington. Ever wonder what became of John Ashcroft since he gave up his attorney general gig? The ex-Missouri senator now heads up a good-sized consulting company that's helping security contractors get nice arrangements with federal agencies. Homeland Security is expected to spend about $60 billion this coming fiscal year, and Ashcroft's company, which is called Ashcroft Group LLC, is helping private companies get a piece of that pie. Right now, his company represents about 30 clients, many of which make products or technology related to Homeland Security. It's also working with a few others to nurture a venture capital development organization. In addition, Ashcroft is also finishing up a book dealing with his years as Attorney General. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
Hello, St. Louis. My name is Oliver. You may or may not be familiar with my work. I like sports. I can be very opinionated. And I will be hosting my very own radio show. Join me every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The Oliver Show on WGNU 920 AM.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Oh, yes, it will.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And 920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU, that is the long distance number. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. There is a report coming out of the UN. In fact, a report that we talked to, a concern that we discussed a little bit last week. The United Nations Human Rights Council has issued a strongly worded condemnation of Israel, and they did it on Friday. And why? For violating human rights and international humanitarian law and their military actions in Lebanon. Now, who is the United Nations Human Rights Council? It is the highest UN human rights body. They held a special session on Friday to discuss the conflict in the Middle East. They also decided to send a high-level commission to the area to investigate systematic targeting and killing of Lebanese civilians by Israel. This resolution was approved by a vote of 27 to 11. 8 people abstained. The European members of the council, Canada, Japan, Romania, and Ukraine, voted against the initiative. This new 47-member council demanded that Israel strictly comply with its obligations, the obligations that Israel has under international humanitarian law. And this is the law that regulates the treatment of the injured, the law that regulates the treatment of prisoners, and the law that regulates the treatment of non-combatants during armed conflict. It condemns Israel's military actions, such as the massive bombardment of civilian populations in Qana, Morian, Al-Dir, Al-Qa, Chia, Ghazi, and other towns in Lebanon. The council has said that the attacks have caused thousands of deaths and injuries, mostly among children and women, and that 1 million civilians had been displaced. There was also an inquiry to investigate the systematic targeting and killing of civilians by Israel in Lebanon. They also called to examine the types of weapons used by Israel. A question about the Israel's conformity to international law, and to also assess the extent and deadly impact of Israeli attacks on human life, property, critical infrastructure, and the environment. Did you know that there is an oil spill that is going on in Lebanon right now that rivals the Exxon Valdez due to the bombing by Israel? Did you know that? And that people can't get in to clean it up and to save the wildlife. Did you know that? Now, this council is a new council. It was created in March. It held its first session June 19th through the 30th. And this new council of 47 members was put to the test this week. Western countries had criticized the predecessor to this council, the UN Commission on Human Rights, and that commission became defunct last June. Now, this new council, in the debate, focused their criticism on Israel. And that's why European members of the council voted against it. Switzerland abstained. I guess that would be what the Swiss would do, would be neutral on this. And there were others that criticized this because it wasn't a consensus, that everybody didn't agree, but
Is that evidence of what is right and wrong? That everybody agrees on what is right and everybody agrees on what is wrong? Lots of folks agreed on enslavement. Did that make enslavement less wrong? Because the world did not agree unanimously that enslavement was wrong? People don't even agree on the legacy of enslavement. That doesn't mean that it is not wrong. It is foolishness to try to attempt a consensus on issues such as this, or to determine that the conclusion is somehow invalid because it was not reached by everybody. 1-877-920-WGNU. Five Latin American countries voted in favor of the resolution: Argentina, Brazil, Ecuador, Peru, Uruguay. They also called on Israel and Hezbollah to refrain from the use of force and to guarantee safeguards for civilians. Guatemala abstained from voting. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. 1-877-920-WGNU. For now, the bombs have stopped. For now, the shelling has stopped. For now. For now. And we will see what the pictures will allow us to see. Keep your eye out for, keep your desire upon wanting to see the photographs coming out of Lebanon so you can see the destruction, the annihilation of Lebanon. There weren't any Hezbollah bombs or missiles directed towards Lebanon. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. And check it out. There is some fallout from this country. As much as this administration has been pro-Israel, there are some Israeli officials that are privately blaming George Bush for egging the Prime Minister of Israel into the ill-conceived military adventure against the Hezbollah. So everybody in Israel is not happy about how this stuff has come down. There are folks that are saying, why did you push him into that? Why did you push him into that? And is it any surprise that it would be Bush who had such a strong personal support for the military offensive that he told the Prime Minister Ehud Olmert on May 21st. Now, who is Olmert? He, like Bush, lacks direct wartime experience. So is that the legacy of George Bush? Making everybody go to war? And pushing inexperienced people into war? Taking the world to war in a handbasket? My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you. And people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's
splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Lipstick is okay, mascara is not, and leave the gel insoles for your shoes at home. The TSA has tweaked the list of what you can and can't take on a plane. Again, ABC's Nancy Wiener is more from New York's LaGuardia Airport.
The TSA is easing some of those sweeping restrictions that caused so much frustration and confusion for flyers last week. Baby food and formula will now be allowed through security, as well as up to 4 ounces of non-prescription medication.
Britain has already eased its terror alert level to severe just days after announcing it had busted a plan to blow up U.S.-bound airliners, and now the FBI wants to know if there's a U.S. connection.
There are lots of phone calls between the alleged plotters and this country, and every single one of those phone calls and whoever got it is being closely looked at by the FBI. There are 5 of the suspected plotters still missing. The FBI has been asked to look for at least 2 of them.
ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross. Israel and Hezbollah say they both won their 34-day war. The fighting took its toll, however, on both sides. ABC's John Berman has more from Beirut.
With this nervous ceasefire in place, thousands of Lebanese are now returning home, checking to see if those homes are still there. We were in southern Beirut today, which has been heavily bombed by Israeli planes, buildings destroyed, supermarkets in rubble, playgrounds ruined, and people were returning back to see what was left.
There is still sporadic fighting. At least 6 Hezbollah militants are said to be dead in isolated incidents. President Bush is talking about the ceasefire and other issues with Defense Secretary Rumsfeld and other military advisors. He's meeting with them now at the Pentagon.
How are you feeling this morning, sir?
Impressed, yeah.
Well, most sanitation workers aren't followed by reporters. Then again, most aren't. Former pop star Boy George, who's cleaning up the streets of New York City for 5 days as punishment for filing a false police report. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 64 points and the NASDAQ is ahead 15. This is ABC News.
Into Office Depot today for incredible deals on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, 2-pocket paper portfolios are 10 for a dollar, and 1-subject wire-bound notebooks are just 6 for 60 cents. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credit to your child's school. So hurry into Office Depot for great back-to-school deals. See store for details while supplies last. Quantities limited.
Criminal justice is one of America's fastest-growing career fields. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue exciting entry-level opportunities. At the ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice, they teach you the fundamentals of the criminal justice system. Classes meet just a few days a week, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 1-800-851-4499. 1-800-851-4499.
Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
Does the punishment fit the crime in this case? You decide. Here's ABC's Karen Chase.
It's a painful punishment for teen traffic violators. A judge in Portage, Indiana, hits them where it hurts the most, right in the car keys. Superior Court Judge Julia Gent, who demands that all drivers ages 16 to 18 go before her, sentences all young scofflaws to riding the bus instead of driving to school. She got the idea of using humiliation as a driving force to encourage safe driving after one teen cried outside the courtroom. Parents aren't off the hook either. They're under orders not to drive their kids to school, so the teens learn responsibility. Karen Chase, ABC News.
How about a glass of Fat Bastard? That's the name of a French wine imported to the U.S. by Seattle's Glick Wine Group. That's not to your liking. Maybe Marilyn Merlot or Chocolate Block might be. Most vineyards are thinking catchy instead of stuffy these days, trying to appeal to a younger wine drinker, but some vintners aren't buying it. They say if you wanted cheap humor, drink beer. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU news update is brought to you by The Home Depot. I'm Peyton Colston reporting.
In the news, the Defense Department confirms the death of a Granite City, Illinois soldier in Iraq. 26-year-old Sergeant Stephen Minnemeyer was one of two soldiers reported duty status whereabouts unknown last Tuesday when their Black Hawk helicopter crashed into a lake. The soldier's body was recovered Wednesday. In other news, today marks the solemn anniversary of the disappearance of a pregnant Jefferson County woman. Amanda Jones was last seen 1 year ago today after she met with Brian Lee Westfall. Family members say Westfall was the father of her unborn child. Jones' father, Hubert Probst, says it's been a rough year on his family.
The other day, it's already been a year, and it seems like it was just yesterday. You know, I mean, it's been hell. It's been on a roller coaster ride. People giving us false hope.
The memorial service will be held for Jones at 6 tonight at Calvary Assembly of God Church in Crystal City. And finally, this hour, the American Heart Association is urging African-American women more than ever to take care of their hearts. That's after a recent study shows 97% of African-American women surveyed know that working out would positively impact their health, but only 9% exercise enough. Statistics show that 59% of all women in Missouri lack the proper amount of exercise. And that update of WGNU News for this hour was brought to you by The Home Depot. Learn how to transform a cluttered space into a favorite space with innovative storage solutions at The Home Depot's free do-it-yourself workshops on August 21st. Register today at thdclinics.com. You can do it. We can help. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic Restaurants. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction, right lanes closed. Northbound 170 at 70, look for road construction, right shoulders closed. Eastbound 70 at 40, there's road construction, right lanes closed. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, paving operations have the right lane closed, and that's causing probably the most delay at this hour. Also, eastbound St. Charles Rock Road at Inner City Expressway, look for an accident. And Potomac at 55, there's a car on fire this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic Restaurants. Drive into Sonic for a new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito. Crispy jalapeno strips and spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy this morning and early this afternoon. 50% chance of showers, high in the upper 80s this evening. Partly cloudy, cooler with a low in the mid-60s. Moving on to Tuesday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 80 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 80. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal citizens.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wake Up Call. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You know, I was driving down the street in my neighborhood, and I noticed a couple of things that I haven't seen. Saw these beautiful, beautiful, big old vehicles with handwritten for sale signs in the windows. Some Cadillac Escalades. And not far down the street where I saw this one particular vehicle in the parking lot with a for sale sign in its window was a gas station. With gas up to $3.19 a gallon. And then I look at the front page of the Investor's Business Daily today, showing that shoppers aren't finished yet, but lo and behold, a lot of the shopping money is being spent on gasoline. And how lovely for the United States Congress to go on their month-long August break after engaging in the shortest period of time that the Congress has worked since 1948. 78 days these guys worked. And there's nothing in the work that they have done that gets us into the question of whether we are being gouged, or better yet, how deeply we're being gouged. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about rising gasoline prices, the real deal behind rising gasoline prices. We're being told that, it's being suggested to us that it's about the war in Iraq, the war in Lebanon. Or is it just about good old-fashioned greed? To facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Mark Cooper. He is the Director of Research for the Consumer Federation of America. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Is it greed?
Well, it's capitalists who don't face real competition, who don't face scrutiny from government officials who are supposed to make sure we have a competitive market and consumers are treated fairly. So we have abusive pricing practices. And it's also about a failure of policy to change the essential balance in both the world. And remember, the United States consumes one quarter of all the oil consumed in the whole world. So what we do matters a great deal. But also in the United States, because we have a terrible refinery shortage and the abuse of market power, gouging, you call it, at the refinery gate level. It's not the gas station on the corner that's doing it to us. It's the big oil companies who own the refineries.
Now, so let's back up a little bit. Are Americans, when we hit that when gas hit, not, there's no we in this because I'm not making any money off this, when gas prices reach that magical $3 per gallon price, Are Americans reacting to this a little differently than they have when prices hit, let's say, $2?
Yeah, $3 changes a lot of things. There's no doubt that it obviously takes a huge bite. If you look at the average household this year, they'll probably spend well over $1,000 more on gasoline than they did just 4 years ago.
Mm.
Huge increase. 4 years ago, summer of 2002, gas was $1.50.
Mm.
And, you know, that kind of increase just takes a bite. So they've begun to change their behaviors. The real question is whether or not those changes in behaviors can do enough, quickly enough, sustained long enough to actually change the energy situation. And we don't think they can. And Congress hasn't done anything to really address the problem.
Well, don't people also look at the $3 a gallon gas differently than the $2 break? Because didn't Americans think that when gas hit $2 a gallon, it's not going to stay here that long? That people are looking at this $3 thing a little differently. They're feeling that, my goodness, if it's $3 now, it's going to be $4 later.
Well, clearly $3 makes a tremendous difference. You've seen some of it in the collapse of the auto companies selling their gas guzzlers, right?
Mm-hmm.
American auto companies specialize in producing gas guzzlers. It's interesting. If you look back in 2000, they said, "Hey, we'll develop some hybrids and et cetera," and they didn't stick with it. They went back to the guzzlers, and they have been clobbered. But ironically, I mean, I was looking in the newspaper today how what the companies are doing are repositioning their cars, and they still think they're going to make money selling gas guzzlers. And so they need and you know that advertising pounds on people. So we need a lot of people to take a hard look at where we are. The president said we have an oil addiction. The problem is he didn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people are changing their behaviors, but it's tough in America not to drive, right? I mean, the way we've built our cities, you know, in a certain sense, in most suburban communities, it's illegal to walk to the grocery store because they can't build them because of zoning laws. You got to get in your car to do your business.
Mm.
So what we have to do is we have to make sure the cars we get into are really super efficient. We have to make that happen very, very quickly. See, because the public's interesting. We do polling, right?
Okay, hold on for a second. We have to take a break.
Okay.
I'm talking to Mark Cooper, the Director of Research for the Consumer Federation of America, joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about gasoline prices. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. I'm delighted to say that Curran Events is now on Monday nights from 8 to 10 o'clock. Curran Events, where we encourage discussions for both sides of an issue. That way we can learn from each other. That's Jim Curran, Curran Events, Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station for the issues that matter most.
President of Holiday World and Splash and Safari in Santa Claus, Indiana. People ask me, why is it worth taking the trip to Holiday World? First, Holiday World and Splash and Safari is a great value for your family. We offer two parks for one price with free parking, free inner tube usage, free sunscreen, and free unlimited soft drinks. We have world-class family rides at Holiday World, including three of the best wooden roller coasters, the Raven, the Legend, and new this year, the Voyage, one of the longest, fastest, and tallest wooden coasters in the world. Splash and Safari is the number two rated water park in the world, featuring two wave pools, two the largest water slides on the planet, and it's all free with your admission. At Holiday World, many of our guests travel 3 hours or more to visit us, and they say it's worth the trip. You'll have more fun here than any other park. We're celebrating 60 years of fantastic family fun. I invite you to learn all about us on our website at holidayworld.com.
Holiday World and Splash and Safari, number one for family fun. Open daily until August 20th.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, make me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Mark Cooper, the Director of Research for the Consumer Federation of America. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about high gas prices. We're talking about the impact of rising gas prices. Mark, on the way out, you were talking about how Americans need to have to change their habits.
Well, the consumer, we do public opinion polls regularly. About four-fifths of the people are concerned about prices. Three-quarters are concerned about dependence on Middle Eastern oil. I mean, it's now sunk in, and a lot of conservatives have now realized that oil consumption and oil import dependence is a major weakness in our national and international policy, right, our foreign policy. We really do have to address the problem. The difficulty is that in America, once you buy your house, because the way we decided to live, and once you buy your car, there's not a lot you can do for your gasoline consumption. It really is difficult. Those are the two key decisions. And so the Congress now has been looking at sort of we haven't increased the fuel efficiency of our vehicles on average in 20 years. Dead flat efficiency for 20 years. Now, Congress, the interesting thing is that there are bipartisan bills with big-name folks. I mean, Obama, Lugar in the Senate, Bolet, Markey in the House. These are bills that require the efficiency of the vehicle fleet to increase by 1 mile per gallon per year. We get about 25 in new cars now. Obama, Lugar would push that up to 50 miles per gallon over a quarter of a century. That would have a tremendous impact on both the world oil market, take about 5 or 6 million barrels a day of demand out of the world oil market, and that also would help our refinery problem in the U.S., because you take a big chunk out of demand, we get some excess capacity, which the oil companies have refused to build. So these kinds of bills are floating around in the Congress, but the leadership in the administration has expressed no interest at all in those bills. All they want to do is throw stuff at the supply side and the oil companies. And that's been their policy for 6 years, and it clearly hasn't worked. So we're at this point where the public is ready for a change. We need policy to direct ourselves to on a very aggressive path to efficiency. The rank-and-file members are ready to do it, but the leadership is not. And that's the point of our report we issued last week. You know, the representatives, senators are running around in their districts trying to get reelected. We know they're getting an earful on energy policy, and when they come back in September, got all these bills lined up, lots of support, been reported out of committee, ready to go, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not, you know, we can force the leadership in the administration to actually do the right thing on energy policy, especially since the president said we've got an addiction problem. We need to take it seriously.
Now, is it too late for us to be talking about redoing public transportation, the emphasis on public? Is it too late for that? Are we too far gone?
Well, that's a very long-term change, though. I mean, we because of the way we've built our society, and we became dependent on the automobile. And so if you want to change that, if you want to put in light rail, and I guess Denver just voted for light rail. They surprised themselves, right? So the anti-tax West, they discovered they need light rail. But that takes an awfully long time, and I'm not saying we shouldn't try that. But yeah, we have to recognize that for a long period of time, the automobile is going to be at the center of our society. That's the way we've been building it for almost 100 years. And the interesting thing is the technology is on the shelf to actually dramatically improve the efficiency. We're also looking at some alternatives, hybrids and biofuels, so that people can look out and with a commitment to improving efficiency, they can see a dramatic improvement. The analogy I like to use is in the early 1960s, America decided that smoking was a public health problem. They just decided that, and over 25 years, education, regulation, taxation, we cut the rate of adult smoking in America in half. If you had said in 1960, you can't do it, people would, you know.
And people did say in 1960 that you can't do it.
The auto companies have been opposed to safety, you know, airbags and whatnot.
Seat belts, seat belts.
And you know what? All this stuff. So the simple fact of the matter is that if our society, especially with its dynamism, innovation, really decides as a matter of public policy that we have to focus our attention on this problem, that we can double our fuel efficiency over 25 years, just like we cut the rate of smoking in half. But that takes leadership.
And don't we also, for not only do we have to make changes there, but don't we have to change the market structure?
Well, I mean, the we have allowed the oil industry to become highly concentrated, certainly in the refining sector. We do not have good oversight of that industry, and there are bills introduced, again, bipartisan bills. Senator Specter, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, has an antitrust bill. Senator Feinstein and Snow have bills about speculation and crude prices. Some people think it's driven up the price by $20 or $30 a barrel. So we should do that, too. There's no doubt about it. No short-term solutions. I mean, we took 20 years to get into this hole. We're going to take 20 years to get out of it. But if we don't start and if we don't do the right policies right now, instead of just drilling off of the coast, which is what passed the Congress you know, before they went home, I estimate we get between 5 and 10 times as much bang out of the efficiency demand side policies as we do out of the supply side policies. Now, some people say we have to do everything. Well, that may be true. The problem is we're not doing the most important things right now.
Well, are we really doing anything?
Well, other than trying to poke a few more holes in the ground, we are not doing anything significant on the demand side. We're certainly not doing anything significant in terms of consumer protection. From pricing abuse and rampant speculation in energy commodities.
Well, let's talk about excess profits and let's talk about price abuse. Is there any legislation? Are there any investigations going on that seriously are looking into this?
No, the profitability of the oil companies. The number I use is that they made more money last year than they did. In that 1 year than they did in 1995 through 1999 combined.
Mm.
And they will make about 30%, maybe 40% more this year than they did last year. They are making, we estimate if you compare their profits, return on equity to the Standard & Poor's Industrials, which is a fair comparison, over the last 5 or 6 years they've made about $120 billion of excess profits. They can't absorb it. It's piling up as cash, and then they use it to buy back their stock. Pumps up the price, good for stockholders, bad for consumers, because the money's not going back into where it's needed. It comes out of our pockets, doesn't help us solve the problem. So you've got this excess profits problem, which comes from the combination of obviously crude oil prices.
But wait a minute, Mark. They say that the oil companies say that they are they're not buying stock back. What they're using the money for is they're building new refineries. They are doing more exploration. They are putting the money back into finding more oil for us.
Not if you look at the numbers, and here's one of the ways they mislead you. Oil companies have humongous cash flow. Now, cash flow is made up of two things. One, you get your income, your net income, but you also get depreciation, which is this huge, you take it as a charge against your income because you're consuming your capital, and that's the return of your capital. If you look at net new investment, that is, you compare what they depreciated to what they spent, there's very little net new investment going on. I mean, Exxon, the net new investment was very small. About 80 cents of every dollar of net income is not going back into new investment. Exxon has bought back $35 billion of its stock. We looked at the big three American majors. They had increased their cash and what they call treasury stock over the last 4 years by $60 billion. In one sense, they're spending more, but they're making so much more so fast that they can't put it to good use. In that sense, this is a windfall in the truest sense of the word. They didn't do anything good to earn this money. They were just standing there when prices went up, when they helped them go up, and they're not doing anything good with this money, the excess. And so, yeah, they say it, but the answer is that you look at their books, and they have a cash flow that they cannot possibly absorb. Certainly BP wasn't spending it to send the little pig down its pipe to find the hole. 15 years, they didn't send that pig down the pipe.
We're going to talk about that when we get back. I'm talking to Mark Cooper, Director of Research for the Consumer Federation of America. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talon says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talon does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talon, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Mark Cooper, the Director of Research for the Consumer Federation of America. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about $3 a gallon gasoline, how it got there, why it is there, and our addiction to oil. Mark, everybody heard about leak in BP up in Alaska. And does it make sense for our gasoline prices to go up as a result of this? And whose fault is this?
Well, I mean, it took a little bit of oil off the world market. It took a little bit of oil. It took a significant amount, about 8%, or could take. Now they say it's not as bad as it looks out of the U.S. Supply chain, although you can replace that. The interesting thing is that the instantaneous reaction to the spot market is speculation and risk and all this other stuff. Over time, it's not going to matter, and the Department of Energy quickly came out and said, oh, we'll get more oil to keep the refineries going. The fundamental problem, as we learned during Katrina, was not crude. The problem was refinery capacity. And it's interesting, and if you look at the typical industry in America, big industry, they have about 20-25% of spare capacity, because in a competitive marketplace, you know, you never want to run out. Because if you run out, one of your competitors won't run out, and you lose your customers. Of course, that never happens in the oil business.
But this is everybody's business.
This is everybody's. But the point is that when you have all these, and the average, it's around, you know, a normal is around 20-25%. Have a good year, you're producing more, you're down to 15%. The refining sector has run with 5 or 10% excess capacity for the last 10 years.
Who determines?
Don't build these refineries.
Who determines that? Is that determined by law?
That's a business decision. There's no doubt about it. There are documents from the mid-90s where the company said we got to get rid of this excess capacity, right? And they did get rid of it. They merged. And they closed 50 refineries over the last 15 years. They chose not to upgrade them to meet Cleaner Act requirements. These are 50 places that had refineries that could have been online and would have been the excess capacity. They shut them down. And now, every time there's a blip, see, the accidents happen in the industry. We understand that. And the normal reaction in the industry is to have enough excess capacity so the accident doesn't disrupt your flow. In this industry, there's not any excess capacity, and the oil companies are definitely not going to build it. The chairman of Exxon said he's not going to build a new refinery in the U.S. because he thinks in 15 or 25 years, demand will start to slack off. Well, we're going to be in for a haircut of time for the next 15 years if he has his way.
Now,
it's a combination of an industry that does not build redundant capacity. It's not in its interest. And then turns out BP has had a really bad run of mistakes and problems and underinvestment and maintenance. And the difficulty is that they don't suffer when they make these mistakes because they just put the price up and they make more money. They made more money in spite of Katrina, had some refineries shut down, all the company's profits went up. And if that's going to happen, they don't have an interest in being responsible about managing their industry.
If you were Senator Barack Obama, if you were Senator Kennedy, if you were a senator at a hearing where you had these oil execs in front of you, what would be the questions that you would ask them?
Well, I would focus on the problem in the refining sector. They keep blaming the environmentalists. Turns out they have no interest. We asked in 2001, after we had the second price spike, we had price spikes in 2001. We wanted a list of all the refineries that had been closed as a result of these mergers. Why were they closed? What would it take to get to open them? And just to sort of put their feet to the fire on the refinery problem. Because if you look, here's the example I use. You go look back to summer of 2000, gas was $1.50, now it's $3. Of that $1.50, 45 cents is in the domestic refining sector. 45 cent increase in your gas pump prices is purely in the domestic sector. It has nothing to do with crude and OPEC and nothing else. They failed to behave in a responsible manner, and the marketplace didn't make them. That'd be one question. The other problem is, I think, the most important thing that, and I mentioned Obama has a bill in, which would require that the fuel efficiency of vehicles double over the next 25 years. The other industry, I like to say that the American consumer has been afflicted by two of the biggest industries in America. The oil industry, because they misled us about what they could do on the supply side. And the auto industry, because they misled us about what they couldn't do on the demand side. Between those two things, we have gotten this supply-demand balance so tight, both in the U.S. and we contribute to the world, that consumers really don't have the normal protections of a competitive marketplace where people are driven to have capacity to produce at the lowest price. It takes fundamental change. Difficulty is that the single thing we could do is look at efficiency, look at alternative fuels. We need public policies to make sure we get these alternatives into the market as quickly as possible. We can't rely on the big companies out there who dominate these industries to actually do the right thing.
Well, isn't that kind of insane that you're asking the companies that are making all this money off of status quo to do something different? What's the motivation of that?
They don't have motivation.
Same practice, isn't it?
Well, the proposition is that you keep doing it because they keep saying, oh, but if you give us these incentives, we'll find more oil for you, right? And that's what we've done. We've now opened up the drilling, and the problem is that they simply cannot solve the problem with that approach, right? Now, there's been some support for biofuels, but we need a significant research effort. We're never going to be able to get the biofuels we need out of a corn-based feedstock. Right?
But they have no incentive for doing anything.
Oh, they're not going to do it. Other people have to. I like to say the reason I like biofuels is because it does three things. It lets corn and other biomaterials compete against crude. It lets ethanol plants compete against refineries. And by and large, the farmers are not members of the world oil cartel, right? So they don't profit from not producing. But yeah, I mean, we've gotten into a very bad state on both the supply side and the demand side over a 20-year period. But the interesting thing, as I say, is that the rank and file members of Congress We're begging the leadership to put these things to a vote as they move that drilling bill through the Congress. They wanted a Bama-Luga was dropped as an amendment. Let's have a vote on the efficiency side of the equation, right? They couldn't get them to even give the their own members a vote. And that's so the change we need is in leadership, in the attitude of the leadership, the way leadership looks at this problem. And that's why I say, you know, if folks are home and you bump into your senator or representative, which is possible, likely during August.
Well, we have Jim Talents running for a re-election. So he's in a hotly competitive race against Claire McCaskill.
Yeah, the ad I heard from McCaskill mentioned $3 gas. Right? And so the answer is that those folks are home now. They need to get an earful about energy policy.
And in terms of money into alternatives, we have a film that's playing here in St. Louis at one of our specialty theaters, Who Killed the Electric Car? Should we be putting money into that?
Well, frankly, we should be putting money into everything. I mean, when you think about the tremendous cost that our oil addiction imposes, the economic cost, the national security cost, and the environmental cost, that's beyond the price at the pump. This really is an urgent situation that just needs that kind of attention. I mean, there's a bunch of folks in Silicon Valley who've now produced an electric car that runs on the kind of batteries that run laptops, which if you've ever picked up a laptop, you know those batteries are an awful lot lighter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of thinking that can go on, but the key, as I said, is that it's a combination of education, regulation, and incentives, both tax, negative and positive tax incentives, right? We need to combine all those things and focus them in on what is clearly a crisis. I mean, $3 at the pump, we used to talk about the energy crisis when you talk about prices. But if you look at foreign policy and all the debates about what do we do about this country and those countries, the countries that have the oil are not very friendly to our international interests.
Well, and also in terms of an oil crisis worldwide, wouldn't everybody be looking inward that their interests come first opposed to ours?
I mean, the irony is that we frequently hear how China is creating the tightness in demand, right? But in fact, the U.S. consumes 25% of the world's oil, consume it on a per capita basis much more rapidly than much higher than our European friends and allies. And the interesting thing is if you think about an American automobile industry that really reorients itself to efficiency, it would significantly drive the whole global auto industry in that direction. Yeah, the developing world in India and China are going to want to buy cars.
Yes.
And in fact, it turns out that most cars sold in America couldn't be sold in China because they don't get enough mileage.
So they could only be sold here for real.
Yeah, and so the answer is that other people will look inward. And the problem is that if you want to negotiate global deals, you have to show that you're willing to do it yourself. And we have definitely not shown that to the rest of the world.
So should the oil companies be punished?
Well, I don't. Punishing the oil companies doesn't do me a lot of good. It doesn't solve the problem. I do think that if we need some money to fund some of these research efforts and so forth, yeah, I know it's sitting in the treasuries of the oil companies. We could grab onto some of that money. But punishing them, in a certain sense, the oil companies are doing what the policymakers let them do over the past decade. They let them merge. They let them gain market power. And so the way to punish them is to solve the problem, require them to help contribute to that solution, both internally and externally. And it's interesting, Senator Clinton, she put out a proposal in which she suggested there would be a windfall profits tax, which they could avoid if they spent the money on alternative fuels. Sort of a carrot and stick approach. Other people would just like to grab the money and use it for good purposes. So I don't want to punish them. What I want to do is make them support and perhaps contribute to the solution. That's where we need to go from here.
Potato, potato. That, I mean, they would consider that punishment, too. You know, if we took their money, if we made them do differently, they would feel punished anyway.
They would, but, you know, there's a difference between just, you know, putting the tax on and chasing them around and setting a structure in which they're not allowed to do any more harm, that's for sure.
And Mark Cooper, where can people go to find out more about the Consumer Federation of America?
www.consumerfed.org. You can click on energy, and we've got a line for efficiency and a line for oil and gas companies. And we got a lot of our analysis up here.
Thank you so much, Mark Cooper, for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
All right. Listen, folks, I will be back after this break. Stay with me.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Philadelphia. A proposal has come out of a medical think tank advisory group that is recommending the government allow a broader use of prison inmates for testing new drugs. 30 years ago, that practice was just about completely stopped because of horror stories of mistreatment and abuse of prisoners who got paid hundreds of dollars a month to be guinea pigs for new pharmaceuticals, but also were exposed to radioactive materials, mind-altering drugs, and cancer-causing compounds. A law passed in 1978 says prisoners can take part in government medical tests if there is no more than a minimal risk to them. But this recommendation is for allowing greater than minimal risk. This is coupled with the fact there are now some 2.3 million people incarcerated, and many suffer from AIDS and hepatitis. The committee says those diseases could be better controlled if such testing were broadened. Human test subjects have become a big-ticket item in the research industry. And Dateline Washington. There's more fallout between states and the federal government over funding for Medicaid. Now, the Bush administration has ticked off a number of governors of both parties with a plan to slash payments to hospitals and nursing homes that take care of millions of low-income people. The National Governors Association says states are already struggling with health costs, and this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. The proposal calls for federal spending on Medicaid payments for hospitals and nursing homes be reduced by changing the allowable costs. And it would also prevent states from imposing taxes on health care providers to help pay for their increased share of the bill. Administration officials accuse states of getting too many dollars from the federal government by accounting and bookkeeping schemes. Even Missouri Governor Matt Blunt, a fellow Republican, is squealing. Say it'll cost the state over $84 million and jeopardize the care of Medicaid recipients, as well as hurt efforts to improve nursing home care. The financing of Medicaid is rather peculiar anyway. If a state loses a dollar in tax revenue from providers, the federal government reduces its contributions by that same amount. But if it refuses to allow states the right to increase taxes on providers, it creates a no-win situation for the states. This is your wake-up call global news update.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me right after the 10 o'clock news here on AM 920, WGNU.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Donde vas? Para donde vas?
Cha-cha.
Para donde vas?
Oye, mujer.
Para donde vas?
Dime.
Para donde vas? Donde vas?
Si vas al baile, baila conmigo. Si vas al carnaval, quiero ir contigo. Si vas a donde quiera, no me quedo atrás, porque quiero amarte más y más.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And, you know what? I have to share this story with you. I have to share this story with you because it really, to me, talks about where we are as a nation. Even though this is a local story, it's one that you need to pay attention to because, again, it speaks to an ideology, if you will. It speaks to an understanding, if you will. It speaks to something that you should be very concerned about. One of the issues that I have talked about many times on this show is the understanding, I think, or no, maybe it's just a political philosophy of secrecy. This administration has been about busily about the business of secrecy. They believe that there should be more secret courts. They believe that the government should be able to spy on you secretly with your phone calls. They believe that there should be secret prisons that you cannot have access to and you don't get any information about. They believe that there should be secret detention centers all over the world. This is an administration that if they got a nickel for every time that they engaged in a secret act, we would have to be calling them, oh, I don't know. How about British Petroleum? If they got a nickel for every secret that they advocated the keeping of in every secret act that they engaged in. What does that have to do with St. Louis? Well, Friday, I believe it was, there was a meeting held in secret in the city of St. Louis. Remember a couple of weeks ago, after all of the whining and noise being made by people that lost their little gigs from the St. Louis Public Schools when Francis Slay lost his control of the majority board? People lost paychecks. Howling. I didn't hear the custodians howling as loud as these overpaid, incompetent, greedy folks that were sucking our babies dry. At the multi-million dollar trough of the St. Louis Public Schools, we heard some howling. Howling. Okay. Kent King responded to that howling by saying, okay, I'm going to appoint this commission that has no authority over the St. Louis Public Schools to look into what is wrong with the St. Louis Public Schools. Okay, you're the same dude that said it's okay to give Bill Roberti a waiver of his superintendent's license. It's okay to do that while our schools plummeted 26 points towards accreditation. Okay. You didn't hear that then. You hear this now. So he put together a group of people. He'd like to call them a commission. I'm not going to call them that because I'm not clear exactly what the right word is to describe what it is that they are doing. Put together a group of folks. Let me just say it that way. One of them is Danforth, John Danforth from WashU. Republican.
One of them was Donald Suggs. I think that's a conflict of interest to have a newspaper person as part of a fact-finding entity. Got a problem with that. We have Frankie Freeman, a lawyer. We have another lawyer, I believe, from Bryan Cave. And a third lawyer in this panel of group of five people. And the first, and this is a commission that was appointed by a public entity, the Commissioner of Education from the state of Missouri. And what was the first thing that they did? What was the first act that they engaged in? Well, my goodness, Dick Cheney lives and breathes. Their first act was to hold a secret meeting about what they were going to do. Ain't that some stuff? It's the same thing that they now, remember, Donald Suggs is the same person that brought us Bill Roberti. He was on that secret committee meeting where they decided to bring us Bill Roberti. And what did Danforth say in true Republican form when asked the question about, don't we have the sunshine laws? If you all meet and you're a public entity, you're supposed to meet in public. What did Danforth say that was true Republican? Things happen better when we do it in secret. People are more honest in secret. Huh? Is that the same thing that Khrushchev said? Isn't that the same thing that Stalin said? When it's out of the public eye, we always get to the truth. Huh? When did that happen? When did truth come out of secrecy? I thought the whole idea was to, what's the phrase? And again, I don't know everything, but what's the phrase? Shining the light of truth on it? When did truth come out of secrecy? If you're starting with secrecy, how are you getting at the truth? It is a violation of the Sunshine Act for this truth commission about trying to get into what's happening in the St. Louis public schools. And what is fascinating about it is all the lawyers that are on this committee, none of them had a problem with meeting in secrecy. So you got to ask the question, in violation of the Sunshine Act. So you got to ask the question, was it just luck that Kent King picked three lawyers that didn't have a problem with this violation of the Sunshine Act? Or was it an intentional collaboration, an intentional gathering, if you will, of these five individuals? Oh, and by the way, one of the things that Danforth has said is that I think we're probably going to need to meet longer than November 1st. I guess there was a reason for that, but you and I will never find out the reason for that, because their meetings are held in secret. There's a connection. Should we be surprised that the head of this commission, this so-called gathering, the first instinct is Republican-esque, meeting in secret? Isn't that something? 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I guess American people just don't understand that the terrorists are the American government. I mean, they're terrorizing Iraq, Afghanistan. I don't understand it. They talk about Hezbollah, but nobody says anything about the CIA. I mean, their whole agenda is to murder people. Look at Mossad. Have you heard one newscaster say anything about Mossad?
Can't say that I have.
And you won't, because by deception they do war, so they throw stones and they hide their hands. So we know who the terrorists are, and it's not the Iraqis or the Afghanistan people. It's the Americans, it's the Israelis, and it's the British. Now, Chelsea, I just needed to say that this morning.
Thanks for sharing.
All right.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
All over the world. Martin Luther King. was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound at the blow, that's the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against
the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
In war, you never win. You cannot fight terrorists. You must give the government of Lebanon to take care of them.
That's a Lebanese citizen who is hoping that a shaky ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah that took effect earlier today will hold. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says there's no other choice.
Neither side should have any reason to disappoint those hopes. And if either were to do so, it would pay a heavy price in terms of world public opinion.
The agreement has ended most of the fighting there.